June 2010.
That's Tom. I'll pick everyone up.
Good morning. So there's blueberry scones and jam and some fudge, and then there's tea and hot water with sugar and honey if you want it.
She wanted proof.
Yes. No, I did not want to put that on tape, but I forgot to say before I started.
You don't know what you're missing, Ben, do you? Yeah.
Is there Irish whiskey down there?
Yeah. Oh, not out in the open.
Your blood.
Probably by the end of the meeting, we're going to have some.
You were the driver. Just keep that in the diaper bag, right?
It's amazing where you get those sippy cups. Nobody checks them either.
I know. Nobody
checks the sippy cups.
Just remember that, Ben. Stuck
What's that?
In the diaper bag.
No, we'll hook it up.
Yeah.
Is everyone...
It's one of the few benefits I hear.
Like,
have
one...
Yes.
Wow. Because I've mentioned something about 30% spill, a little goose, and he went off.
September.
And he's still chewing on Richie.
Wow.
September?
Somewhere there.
I said we're going to build a wall.
Ben, hopefully.
I said that's my recommendation. That's
Ben, male or female?
Push
male.
I'll push you. Okay.
All right.
Sorry, I got all pink stuff. You don't want it.
My new concrete company's going to be involved.
Well, is Tom
Yeah, Ben, I suggest the name Jason to Michelle. It's a nice, strong male name. So.
I would assume so.
Yeah. You like Michelle was asking for names suggested. Yeah.
Oh yeah, who knows what that's going to end up being.
Yeah.
Something Irish.
Okay, well, is Ben is on the phone, I hear. Is there anyone else on the phone?
Hey, Will's not going to be here. He's got school to do.
Okay.
He's guarding the punch for his daughter's graduation.
What are they putting in the
Among other things.
Yeah, we're cleared her up.
Okay, well, I guess we'll, for Ben's benefit, we'll go around the room. Quick introductions.
Chris Penny, Walla Walla District.
Barry Fredericks, Noah Fisheries.
Dave Bender, Fish Passage Center.
Jason Sweet, BPA.
Scott Button, BPA.
Tammy Mackey, Corps of Engineers.
Eric Volkman, BPA.
Doug Bowes, Corps.
Greg Moody, Corps of Engineers.
Scott, Public Power Council.
And Tim Dykstra, CORE. All right. Well, we have, we're missing a few. But we'll move forward. So, first of all, any issues to add to the agenda?
There is one coordination item that Natalie will be mentioning when she gets here, or when she calls in.
Yeah,
about extensions
to
Washington
Shore.
There's no official coordination form yet, but she will talk briefly about it.
And we wanted to add...
I wanted to add a
spill request,
Little Goose.
Yeah. We had that covered.
And we need it, and downstream, Lomo, too, probably. And you want to talk about juvenile lamprey at Little Goose, too?
Yeah, we can...
if we got time?
At the end of updates, we'll add, I believe we'll have three issues.
Mm-hmm.
Tammy, I think one was Bonneville, the Dalles, John Day, Lamprey Trapping.
Yeah.
You want that added in updates?
It should probably just be an update.
Okay.
And then we'll add topic of debris spill on the snake. And then the third that we'll add at the end of updates is just juvenile lamprey and raceway tailway screens. Tailwater raceway screens.
Raceway tail end screens.
So we'll talk about it when we get there. I won't explain it now.
I'd like to add something on that too, if I could.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wherever it's appropriate, I'd like to have a brief discussion of... the way we're having to deal with debris out here right now, which is significant, but we have, our protocols have changed a little bit because of our tie crane coming back. It's got different limitations than the original one, with wind and on and on, and it's affecting us not only with the corner collector, which we couldn't open today for research repairs, but also with our day-to-day cleaning, especially when it gets to be, a pretty hot river, so... I could just run that by folks so they understand what it is and maybe get a little feedback on what they'd like to see, it would be helpful.
Yeah, that you reminded me of something bad of the sockeye mortality and the scaling issue that we've seen in Bonneville this last week. That we need to talk about that too, I think.
Okay. We'll just add all of this stuff to the back end of updates.
Okay.
If that works.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. We have May minutes. I know everyone just loves poring over those. And if there's any comments, I'm guessing that there's no comments, but I'll open
Evelyn
it up.
Evelyn said they were great.
Oh, great.
But good comment.
The whole thing. He didn't even complain about
that. That's amazing. Not the abridgment.
And, yeah. So, anything?
I haven't looked at
them. Gary says they're great as well, and yeah, they're approved.
I also need the April
wonderful
conference
job.
Call meeting minutes approved so I can finalize those.
Wonderful job.
Okay, so minutes for last F-Palm as well as the April...
The conference call minutes.
Bonneville.
Two sets of
for Bonneville?
For the UMT.
UMT.
The three UMT conference call.
Oh, that's pretty much, yeah.
They're done. Stick a fork
in
it. Yeah, stick a fork in it.
I like that.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to finalize.
Okay, we are finalizing both the conference call minutes and last month's F-Palm, unless I see anyone... concerns, and Gary is not concerned. So, all right, moving into action items. Scott McNary, John Day transmission line change form.
Still working on it.
Good.
Okay. We got busy this month, sorry.
Understand. Pit tag detection at the AFF.
Critfix.
And this is Critfix, so.
Nope, they haven't provided anything
about that. Hey, Bill. Hi. So we'll carry that over. Bonneville, Powerhouse 1, emergence limitation.
We have, excuse me, we have the info we need. I just have to write it to Sammy.
Great. Okay.
Which I think I'll do just so I can get it off this thing.
Great
thank
idea.
This is Dave.
I'd like to do that, right?
Okay. McNary video monitoring plan. We never did have a conference call, and looking, there was never a noticeable start of lamprey passage at John Day, and so we never had a conference call on that. We'll be talking about McNary lamprey monitoring on another agenda item, so we'll save that for. And Derek Fry will be.
He'll be getting on.
That's what he's. Yes.
He has told us he would be on.
Okay, Bonneville Powerhouse 2 unit operations. Dave was going to draft a proposal. Ben, have you seen anything?
Nope.
Okay.
I'm assuming it'll come through F-bomb, but no, I haven't seen a thing.
Okay. And
yeah, this is probably going to be related to my concern with Sokka.
Okay.
We're going to want to focus on this one later.
Okay. 2.6, the traveling screens. I'm in Scott's camp in terms of I'm still working on that one. But I don't think that the irrigation district pays for maintenance of those screens, but I haven't been able to nail that down yet. So we can keep it on.
Keep on with that, too.
Cooling water stringer updates for lamprey. We've included those in the minutes. So... No?
You didn't send me the spreadsheet.
I thought we had. All right.
I've not seen one.
Okay, well.
Okay, well, you will have it for this when you send out these minutes. They will be there. And I sent an email and we'll send another one. All right. But I didn't send it to Tammy. So
if you have, it is no longer in my email.
Okay, we'll make sure you get it.
You can send it to me.
Let's see, we're going to talk about task group update a little later, so we'll skip that. And 2.9, there was McNary, Oregon Shore, Fish Ladder, Traveling Screen Coordination Forum. And
we wanted to talk about the fish numbers. I'd updated the fish numbers, and I included it in the May agenda. We talked about, this is to remind you, the North Shore, excuse me, the Oregon Fish Ladder, North Traveling Screen. We wanted to have some work done on that thing. The only time that we could do some work to replace it would be in November this year because of the John Day outage. So I updated the fish numbers in the month of John Day. We agreed the last 3 weeks of the month we could work on the screen replacement there on the Oregon Fish Ladder.
Okay. All right. Now we're moving into updates. 3.1, John Day SMF mortality update. Tammy?
Mira was supposed to be here. Oh, yeah. So if we just delay that.
Okay, should we delay everything at John Day?
Window cleaning.
Okay. Well, let me tell you about 3.5. Which is the lamprey cooling water strainers. So I'll just verbally go through McNary. Checked at the end of May, had 59 juvenile lamprey. Ice Harbor had 31.
Somebody can look at this thing.
Lomo, we're still, the latest one that we had there were 3 lamprey.
Passive.
Little Goose, May 31, had 41 lamprey. And Lower Granite on May 26th at 398.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Most out of one or two strainers? Or?
No, they were pretty evenly distributed across 5 different units.
Oh, good.
So... there were 5 units all of them were checked. There were 5 units that had lamprey found, and they were between 61 lamprey and 97. So it was fairly even distribution. So
distributing themselves evenly.
Yeah, which is
Lower Granite turbines.
You're using them all, that's probably why.
Yeah.
Which is very different than Ice Harbor.
It's Ice Harbor, they kind of congregate.
They favor.
Yeah. Hey, you know, we'll have to check the sampling numbers and see if there's any increase.
Yeah.
Were these reported at all? Can they tell whether these are amacetes or macrophilia?
Yeah, it depends on the decomp state.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it will, I hate to say. But
well, they're probably all the same.
Yeah, type, probably. If they're caught at that time, they probably would be. And right now, I think they're getting a lot of the macros through here.
Right time, about macro. Time doesn't macro matter. You get both at the same time.
Yeah, there's some browns too.
Macros are right now. More developed.
Yeah, more developed. Mm-hmm.
Are they saving them?
They are saving them. There is a jar of alcohol. Fish in them.
Do you need to freeze them? Does the alcohol run?
It is in the freezer.
We were told, we got a call. We asked, tasked this to Lors, and he got back to us and said alcohol is preferred. No freezing will work.
Yeah, I thought you ruined some of the genetics when you used alcohol.
Depends on what kind of alcohol.
Gin?
Gin. They're not all the time.
Although we are not.
My times were best.
As you can imagine, we're starting to get some questions from folks in the field. It's like, okay, we've been saving these. What are you going to do with them? And
not very big jars.
Yeah, we're getting those questions.
The thing I like about the freezing is then you can always put them in alcohol later, but if you put them in alcohol first, and then the damage is done, and then you go back. Well, then we'll freeze them. Freezing isn't going to change
any DNA or anything.
So your wife's okay with
frozen
them?
Frozen first.
Your wife's okay with them in your freezer?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, they last a long time.
Probably fine. It's fairly loose. They're all frozen.
Yeah. But if that's what Tom
I
wants,
guess this will throw him out somewhere down the road. With
alcohol.
That's what he told us.
Yeah.
So we do have them. It would be nice if we could figure out what we're going to do with them.
I would like to see a way of identifying whether they're macrophilia or whether they're the younger ones. And also, I think it might have to do with the flows in the tributaries, whether they've been washed out of mud in the Walla Walla River or above.
Yeah.
Rivers above Lower Granite are coming out of the Lewiston.
Walla Walla River would be at home,
so. That'd be at McNary.
That'd be at McNary.
As I learn a little bit all the time, the ones in the mud are younger.
Mm-hmm.
They're the anisins around.
Right.
And so they're younger, so they you can kind of figure that maybe they got washed out by some flooding conditions.
Mm-hmm. So you would think right now we could be getting some.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Some of them.
Okay.
But yeah, so yeah, we still have them, and we'll keep them at the projects for now.
Well, the important about this information, it seems like it's the one real source of information that we have about lamprey, juvenile lamprey passage. Right?
Do we have anything on the working through SOWG or where we're identifying projects that we can use these lamprey to, you know, tie them to some research projects, sort of genetics work.
Right.
Is anything percolating there? Because what I don't want to do is 3 years later we get this growing pile and
we'll end up throwing them out.
Yeah, and then there's been. But I hope that we can get some things plugged in on the study side. Rather than just.
What will happen is the study will evolve to a point where looking at specific trips, and they're not going to care about a big massive agglomeration.
Right.
But you might be able to get timing on when they show up, if that's important.
I think we can include this in one of the lamprey line items.
So it seems like.
Yeah. Looking at it more. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not sure they knew they had a collecting source. If they know they had a collecting source, that would definitely make somebody start looking at it before they start deteriorating alcohol.
Yeah. Okay. All right, well, 3.6, just a quick update for transportation this year. Our total numbers through the 9th of June, across the system, we've transported now about 5.4 million juvenile fish. Of those, about 3 million of them are at Lower Granite. 1.9 million at Little Goose, and almost 500,000 at Lomo. So, and as I think folks are probably aware, the subs are starting to show up. We've at Lower Granite for the month of June, we're pretty consistently above 10,000. Subs collected and transported every day. So subs are definitely showing up, and it seems like most of the steelhead numbers are starting to drop now as far as what we're collecting. So anyway, just to let you know, 5.4 million up to this time for transport. Okay, McNary North traveling screen. Greg?
McNary North traveling screen went bad again. This is the traveling screen on McNary Dam, Oregon Fish Ladder. It's gone bad again. And so they were requesting about 2 weeks ago for us to send out a request so they can sit down there and see what's the problem going on. I sent out a coordination form around the 1st of June on that to everybody, and received a reply back. Since then, the crew is getting mobilized to actually go down there and see what they could do. So what the process, again, to see what's the problem with the north traveling screen, they would like to put some stop logs in. In order to put the stop logs in, it's going to take a half day, but before they even start on that again, they got to have to close that 100 or 1,000 CFS tanger valve. So they have to shut that thing off, install the stop log. It's going to take about a half day to do that.
What's going on?
The traveling screen went bad. I mean, it's not working. It's out of service.
Mesh, motor.
I think the cables, a piece of debris may have gotten into it. They want to find out exactly.
It's jammed.
It's jammed.
I think it's no longer traveling.
It's no longer traveling. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's not totally falling apart, but, you know, they got to figure out what the problem is, and they want to send a camera down, of course, to see what's going on. That involves placing, shutting off that flow.
Okay,
that's 1,000 CFS? That's the 1,000 CFS tanger valve there on the Oregon Fish Ladder. And it supplies the diffusers, 14, 13, 12, and then goes up, and then goes out to the weed irrigation district.
Yeah, it's the,
this goes in the irrigation district?
Yeah.
There's three. Right, this, the water from this, the water that passes through the screen goes to three different places.
Diffusers.
There's a 1,000 CFS that goes back into the ladder for traction flow. And then about, I think it's, and I haven't looked at this for a couple of months, but I think it's 160 CFS that goes to the irrigation district and 100 CFS that goes to the wildlife area at McNary. So there's a total of 1,260. 1260 CFS.
Is this the north?
This is the Oregon.
It's the Oregon shore.
It's the
north screen as opposed to the south.
Okay, thanks. I saw north. North traveling screen. I thought we're across the river.
Down to another planet.
How does this?
Oregon shore.
Oregon shore. North traveling screen. Okay. The one that we had it.
Yes. Which further confirms that we're doing the right thing this winter is replacing them so that this
south
stop.
Yeah, there's two traveling screens there.
Short screen south. Okay.
All right. So I wanted to start to work on that screen, but equipment failure occurred. Crane. So they were not able to start work at all on it. Crane has been inspected and approved for usage right now. It's going through final clearances to start work that they can do, and they expect to be 100% ready to work come Tuesday next week. I have updated fish numbers from the 1st of June to the, what was 2 days ago, 8th of June. And of course, fish numbers are a little bit higher this time of year. I do have that. So they still, you know, we'd like to go ahead with the process. Unfortunately, we're going to have to do it this time of year, a little bit later than expected.
Let's explain this then. So it's 1,000 CFS, it's not 1,000 CFS, and that's what percentage of the ladder, the traction flow, what's the traction flow in that system?
About half
or less than half?
I can't give an educated guess on that.
I thought it was over 3,000. Is the
thing. So it's about a third.
Yeah. They're going to come back and try to turn the valve or the propellers on the fish pumps up so that they can get more water. If that's going to help.
What percent?
That I don't know again either.
So we're going to lose a third of our attraction flow. You may be able to gain some of that. I'm just trying to get the effects here.
How long is your inspection going to take?
My next question was.
Next clip, okay.
Half a day.
So, if they pull the. Yeah. Half day if we block only the upstream side. Full day if we block both sides.
You're going to start at midnight, work until whatever hour in the morning? Is that the plan?
Plan was it's going to be during daylight because it's crane operation.
Yes.
Oh, it's crane.
Can you start on 10?
I'd like to start. Yeah, now let's look at fish passage through the day. Let's see, 10 o'clock would probably be a little bit better.
16 hours of daylight.
Yeah. I do have fish passage from 4-1 to 16-3 spring passage, but it does look a lot better at that time of day.
We can start at 10 or after.
10. The ladder's loaded by 9 o'clock, it looks like.
8 hours, you'd be done at 6.
Yeah.
And then watch hours, you still have light till 5 or 9.
Yeah. Yeah, we probably would, or even later. Yeah. But light wise.
As long as it's not raining. As long as you have blue sky.
Yeah. But that's a good consideration. Yeah, okay. Thank you.
It's always a sunshine.
It's always sunshine in Walla
District, isn't it? Though?
Well, usually it is. Not this past 2 weeks, I tell you, folks. We're into what? I think Portland the East.
I know. So I was thinking about so that. We're good with this, getting it done as soon as possible. But
after 10 o'clock
after
in the morning.
After 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Too bad.
Oh, the smoke break?
No,
let's see, their break is at 9 o'clock. It's at 9 o'clock.
Oh.
9 to 9:15.
Oh, that's
so we're in good shape there.
Yeah. Yeah. We're in good shape there.
Still take a couple of days. Okay, so you can start at 10 a.m. and go half a day or a day, whatever it takes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Dave had an interesting suggestion saying maybe instead of having two entrances not fully operation, go to one. That's maybe the criteria.
Go to the real south one, that's the main one.
The south one was in operation most of last year.
No, we're saying, like, instead of having two entrances, instead of having two with, like, not quite meeting criteria, close one, so you put all your flow out of one main entrance and have one criteria. I don't know.
Change the gate.
It seems like the other one might be
going on. I don't know.
I don't know if it was it.
I mean, the Float Norfolk case would be the obvious answer, but those take a day to close.
So yeah, that's another crane operation,
probably,
too.
But I think,
aren't the entrance gates under an operator there?
Do we have anything in the fish passage plan for emergency operation for if we lose?
I will look that up.
I think they put up the depths of the gates.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at, the depth of the gates. Because that's a standard operation
where
you have a fish pump down or something like that.
Is that over there?
Yeah, something goes six. Okay.
Do you guys want to
start walking on the project again?
Okay.
All right, 10 o'clock.
We'll move forward at 10 o'clock, and we'll increase the flows to make up as much as we can with the fish pumps, and I'll...
Don't break them.
Yeah.
BPA says it's okay?
Yes.
Thank you. State of Washington?
No comment.
No comment.
Deferred.
3.8 I had on here just out of curiosity standpoint, but people might be interested to know. There was some pictures taken. I had Mark Plummer take some pictures as he was telling me about the outfall at Ice Harbor, which was underwater. So
submerged pipe, huh?
Yeah.
Pressurized
pipe.
Uh-oh. Those are violating criteria.
Yeah.
Isn't the Lomo pipe going to work?
The Lomo pipe that's being developed, there's a concept on a table that it will be a pressurized pipe.
We already took care of it.
Underwater. So we're just proving the concept.
We're just...
Yeah, there you go.
Proof concept. Modeling.
So, anyway...
Are you testing?
No. But, it...
They're testing it. They just don't know the results of it.
They don't have it now.
So, anyway, as you know, flows in the snake are way up, and so one of the results is partially submerged Ice Harbor outfall. But in talking to the engineers, they've indicated that it was, you know, designed to still operate properly under these conditions, with even when it's partially submerged.
Well, the point is there a jump occurring in the pipe or not? If there is, that's a problem.
Yeah.
So if there's no jump, if they think that it's not submerged enough to cause a jump, then they look at the pipe, that's not a problem.
So right. that's the key.
Yeah,
that's
good
the, that's
point.
That's the reality of it. I don't know. That's an engineer's job to figure that out.
Right, and so that's why I didn't get into the weeds on it. I just asked. I said, folks have any indication that this would cause a problem? They said, no, this was anticipated at design.
So that was still, for me, that was design.
Yeah. I would want to know if there's a jump occurring in the pipe.
Okay.
So that's a question. That's the district. Some engineer would be able to call in or somebody on that. Find out whether there's a jump occurring in the pipe. Is that what
Ryan looks helpful? Ryan looks helpful.
I know he looks helpful.
That's going to be Lynn.
Lynn Reese, yeah. Whoever's handy, but that's the right piece of information to come
okay.
to
folks.
No jump, no problem.
Okay.
No jump, no problem. Jump, problem.
Jump, problem.
Potential problem.
Is that just a jump inside the pipe?
Yeah, I mean, what you're doing is you're filling the pipe. It's not a full pipe, So you fill it, then you cause a jump inside of that, which could delay fish and actually injure them if it's myelin.
Yeah, you could. It's a good point.
Okay.
Not knowing which ends up.
We're going to jump back to update 3.1. And I think, Miro, you have the floor for the next four updates here.
Yes.
But we'll start with 3.1, John Day, mortality update.
Okay.
We're back to 3.1 on the agenda.
Yeah, the first one and the most important one, of course, is the SMF mortality update. And, of course, everybody heard the good news so far. That we successfully identified and removed the cause of that mortality. And looking back in a hind view, the only lesson learned is it would be difficult to prevent things like that. This was an old expansion joint. It was somewhat unfortunately designed that it included the heavy plates which covered the expansion joints. And this was a joint between the Tainter gate downstream and the Crest gate now, which was the pre-existing before SMF was added to it. It's difficult to see, it's difficult to inspect, but obviously it had to be intact with all the bolts secured before it was watered up. But subsequently, right in the beginning, because it started occurring, it lasted almost a month, so it started occurring. We picked it up, the increase in mortality, the week of the 23rd of April. And then the main focus of our internal investigation were obviously the orifices. That's the only thing which we could think of at that time. But eventually, after double-checking everything many times, we were at loss and we started thinking of more and then more possibilities. And then John Day Structural was instrumental in identifying this problem because they indicated that they were finding broken bolts on those pieces before. And so we quickly dewatered on May 19th. We confirmed that was the case. One of the plates was off almost 2 inches. The other one was less, and that was the water position. I imagine this was the spot there was high velocity, so most likely with flow that plate was being pulled into the flow even further, and that was the cause. So obviously after this we'll be watching it again. This is the only one of this type of expansion joints that I'm aware of.
The plate was removed, right?
Yeah, it was removed the same day.
It was
completely removed the same day.
And so what it was doing is no longer being done. What was it doing? Was it cause stopping a leak through that expansion or
bypass to the funny thing actually was that before we removed the plate, and there was work done last winter on sealing that expansion joint, it leaked. But after we removed the plate, it looks like the joint sealed itself without the plates.
So you may not need them at all.
Yeah.
Do you think it was put there for the leakage, or do you think it was put there to protect fish from the expansion joint?
From the roughness.
I don't know. It's a good question.
Well, how rough
it
is
was
that?
Probably an attempt to make it almost, for the lack of a better word, maybe just look better because the expansion joints, the way it was designed with the plates, it was reset. There is a little bit of recessed thing in the concrete. So maybe, yeah, it was for the fish protection, but it was probably excessive. It probably backfired. Mm. At least it worked, obviously, until now. But after 20 years. Another lesson learned, I think I suggested, that when we do inspections, and mostly visual, that may not be enough. In this case, we wouldn't. So maybe some sort of stress test is.
Well, if there were no, you say they have noticed bolts breaking loose from this thing in the past.
And they were securing them. But in this case, they didn't last long enough.
That indicates a problem to me. I mean, there's something going on there that is either stressing the bolts or something's moving.
It's just age. I think it's kind of, to me, in terms of generalizing, when the equipment gets old, it behaves differently than when it's new. And then you have to really watch out for the problems.
So is there any reason to replace it next winter when it's dried up? Or just
no,
it out?
I don't think we will be replacing. We will be discussing, we'll most likely fill in that indentation.
I was going to say, if there's an indentation, if you could fill it in with some foam or whatever.
That's right.
Maybe just chamfer the...
For the edges.
Nice.
As long as it doesn't cause any flow irregularities in the bypass, which I doubt it.
That will be done in winter, during the winter outage, obviously. Since then, the mortalities return back to very low, normal, below half a percent on average.
Yeah. I wonder what the total mortality of this thing was. It's probably, given that we only know what the sample. Right.
It was over 2%, but on average it was 2%. So it wasn't extremely high. It was elevated, as I would call it. But of course, it amounted to quite a high number of fish at the time.
When you expand that to the bypass number, I mean, that's just sample. Yeah.
That's it. Any questions?
I guess the question is there a way we can streamline the process of getting notified on this, for this to go along for a month to just find out about it? Seems we need to be a little more diligent.
When did you just find out?
What was that?
When did you find out?
When we got out there for the SAT tour.
Yeah, real late. I wasn't too happy about that either. They were coming up here,
we need to, we'll work with them. Yeah, we'll work with FPC a little bit about seeing that. But also, it's like, if the core guys are seeing this, this is something we need to have some sort of notification process, something, because we can't let stuff like this linger for a month.
You guys get the status reports, right?
Right. The reporting of
We get the reports from everybody, but we don't always read them. Right. I mean, when something like this comes up where we're killing abnormal number of fish, there needs to be red lights and sirens that come in.
Right, so people didn't do that.
Gets people's attention, because that... This didn't. I know I told Greg, and he said, well, it was in my report. And it's like, yeah, well, I don't read your report every time it comes in. I just don't have time. I read everybody's report. That's all I would do.
Maybe get in the headlines in the report or something.
Headlines in the report or something. In addition, saying, gee, we got a problem here.
It should be a fish memo, though. I mean, it's an abnormal number of dead fish, and so that's what our fish memo is.
Well, it's also an abnormal cause of mortality. You usually don't see headless fish
it took some time to decide even what we were dealing with, so
I understand
the difficulty, but just in addition to our reports, it was also reported in the Pacific States report.
I know that's what I just said, but I don't have time to read all those.
Well, unless you read through like what type of mortality you'd see you're about a percent or so higher, you're not sure. That's a different thing than saying, oh, by the way, we're having decapitated fish. That's quite a bit different of a concern than, like, you might have some slightly mortality. Like, we had, like, an increase in mortality of sockeye. We got a memo saying we had 70% mortality. It went away the next day. And, that's fine. But it's like, it's just that. That's some sort of notification.
A lot of fish died here. It would have been probably better to have a full court press on this thing and find the problem out earlier than to wait a month. I know that you guys were sleuthing it, but we might have said, this is too serious. Let's really.
Yeah. But this was due to the uniqueness, as you understand, the circumstances, the type of problem. It just was, it's something which...
It's just built slowly, I know, but it's one of those where, I guess, if what I would say, anytime you see injuries that are
indicative of a project-related problem like this, where you have decapitated fish. I know Dean, now when he sees fish that are decapitated at Bonneville, he lets us know right away. I mean, it's just a phone call and says, hey.
Yeah, we will now, obviously, be better prepared as a result of this incident, because, you know, if you look at the SMF operations since its very beginning, we haven't had any trouble. So we kind of got lulled into this sense of security.
Yeah.
And the whole thing was kind of difficult to troubleshoot.
Well, you know, that goes for everybody, for all the projects, not just for John Day. I mean, if something like that happens, you see, that's what this committee is for, really, to deal with things like that. And it may be that we would say, well, geez, let's really back up and do something more radical. Yeah. Just get to the bottom of it. If we'd taken the system down for a couple of hours and looked through, we might have been able to find the problem right away. Yeah. You know, I don't care if we hold fish in the orifice, in the gate wells for an extra hour, you know, that sort of thing. We might have to do that. Mm-hmm. Get off peak passage hours, which is the middle of the day of John Day. So
is the MFR plan then, is that good enough for everybody? So if there's something abnormal, just an MFR.
Well,
so,
you
know, yeah, just a headline. Calls. You know, an email with a sort of 200 emails a day.
Eventually it has to be put into an MFR anyway for division, so we can get it started earlier.
I wish I put it in the heading of the status report, because I don't know about the MFR. Where is the line in that sense that we didn't know where the problem was and what was the nature of it. And it was just, even in the preliminary, we were the only thing which we could identify would be the orifices, which we had a bunch of procedural and maintenance issues with them. So it took a long time. It was just the nature of the problem, which I don't know how it would.
So when we first know that it's the project doing the damage, that's the time, I think, to shoot out.
That is. Yeah, I think then at least people are notified and we start talking about what we might want to do.
Yeah, now
we
know.
Change what we did.
Well, the whole point is that it had to happen before we knew how to deal with it, so it won't happen again.
Yeah, let's not have that at the other projects either. Something shows up where you know you get...
It's very unfortunate it had to happen that way, but now we will be...
I mean, case in point, we have these scale sockeye and dead sockeye showing up at Bonneville in the last week, and Dean started sending out, you know, alerts that said, hey, we've got something going on here. We don't know what it is, but it looks to be project-related.
However, their problem appears to be much worse in terms of percentage. I mean, that sockeye problem is a lot.
Oh yeah, more. We're talking 30%.
Which is in this case it would be clear, but in this case it was, like I said, I called it elevated. Maybe this was, if nothing else, for my own psychological comfort. I have to admit, because you know it's hard to troubleshoot and work with a problem which is overwhelming sometimes. It's better to kind of maybe put it out of your mind to some extent, not completely, until it's while you're working. You know what I'm saying?
Is if you see decapitated fish or you know that's project.
Yeah, if you see out of the ordinary. Because I mean, it helps have a few more melons thinking about a problem. I mean, like Ed was down there first and says there's only two spots this could happen: either an orifice or the Tainer gate.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know. So, you just kind of have it out and say, hey, have you guys looked at the Tainer gate? That might have triggered someone going, oh, yeah, by the way, we've been breaking bolts on that thing a while back. You might want to go take a quick look at that. Mm. And also, we might have also, like I said, you know, this has been going on for a while, like a week or so. We say, hey, you know, while we need to sit down for a day, you guys do a thorough walkthrough, we'll live the impact. Mm. I mean, just give us some options, that kind of stuff. But if we don't know anything about it, we're just going to go along and... the bliss is ignorance concept, which sometimes doesn't work out so well.
Yeah. Just to explain further... you know, obviously Pacific States was the source of the sampling results, so they knew about the types of injuries. They passed it down, so we were working with them. In addition, now the structural crew at John Day Dam and the entire maintenance crew has been on this. So everybody cooperated, so the information internally was flowing pretty well to get their support, because they were critical to the solution. In fact, only after a while, one of the crew members mentioned that place. And after he mentioned it, it was after it was late in the game. We looked at the orifices so many times that I personally started doubting that this was the orifices, so I knew it would be that.
Something else.
And then we moved quickly and
yeah, I mean, just like with Ed and myself, and
Tom here, we were involved in the actual design of the thing, you know, so we got some background history there that might help.
Okay, we will be informing everybody.
There's no more of those plates that we know in that channel?
No. There's one joint that I know of.
Yeah, I don't know if there are any other joints further down the channel or not that can come loose. But you get past the jump, and then it's all subcritical flow. It's not like the cross problem.
Right.
Sure. Given all velocities.
And we are also going to talk to the, we'll probably talk to FPC and maybe send a notice out to the Pacific State guys and say, if they're seeing a problem, contact FPC. I mean, don't expect, like, unless you read, like, the fine notes of what kind of mortality you have, I usually just glance through real quick and see if there's anything like 17% mortality at Bonneville, that sticks out. 1 or 2% above, and that I may not think about that much.
Yeah, it should be highlighted.
That's all we're asking for.
Just for the committee, yeah.
We're not looking for the people to walk to the guillotine yet, so.
Let me buy the plate.
People walk to the guillotine yet.
Okay, the next.
So you're ready to move on to the work over water on Main?
I think it's for the North Ladder counting station work, which Critfic is doing there for lamprey camera video monitoring. And I guess this came up as a result that there was some confusion between the construction office, who was also finishing work, and Critfic, who was having impact on fish. And there was some alleged impact, which wasn't real, because if you look at the fish counts, that day, in fact, alleged impact was actually better passage number than the neighboring days. And just to clarify, Critfic did pre-installation of their equipment before the water was, I mean, ladder was watered out. Therefore, the installation we're talking about was pretty much about water. They were doing something which could be in short term possibly impacting fish passage, but that could not be proven.
Well, I was actually there that day, and that hour, there were like two, there, like one fish went up and one fish went back.
Right.
But there were fish before and after that.
Right, but what I'm saying still, the numbers, what I'm saying, statistically speaking, it's still not enough. It could be due to coincidence alone. Again, if you look at the average for the day, it was not, it was actually better than the two adjacent days. All I'm saying, you know. I mean, and in fact, Mr. Fryer, who was doing work, didn't deny that they could potentially impact fish passage, but it was only an hour or two. So it wasn't a significant impact, if at all. So this was something which was approved by you, I guess, by the FPOM forum, and it is supposed to be, in my view, it wasn't anything. It was in their hands, by the way. They didn't have, I wasn't aware of the details or anything, but we are dealing with PhD fish biologist, so they probably should know what they're doing.
Someone from the project that commented on that they shouldn't be working.
Well, that was the construction office. The construction office are not biologists, by the way. And I was
right, but he didn't.
They were taking a little bit too much under themselves, basing the whole thing on a comment from a fish counter, which I think is not really exhaustive. I mean, it's a good clue, but they were trying simply to shoulder the blame for their activities on someone else. Also, there's lots of issues here involved, because they were also doing work in the same area, and they were just saying that they didn't want to get the blame for, and they were thinking that someone else was doing even more impact than them, and that was kind of a struggle between two different organizations. But anyway, the issue was temporary and it was resolved. And I personally, Mr. Fryer, I trust him. He says, yes, we could have impacted fish for an hour while we were moving the camera in between the picketed leads. It was not in the channel where the fish were swimming.
Not dead fish.
Okay.
Dead fish, modulated for an hour. Okay.
And then window cleaning, that's exactly what I mentioned. That's why the construction office is still involved. Well, the short story on this one is that the crowder control and the window brush doesn't work still. And it's 2 months after it was supposed to be completed. And the bad part is also that because of the position of new hardware, you cannot clean the window manually, at least easily. We were able to accomplish it only with considerable sacrifice from a rigger, because he has to clean it with an angle and water pushing the brush, which is really awkward. And a person has to be physically strong and sweating.
Tim's going to volunteer.
No, I mean,
Tim's been working out.
It's something which this... You know, it is the delay and its minor deficiencies in this which is holding it up, and it's out of my hands. I just sent a message suggesting that the main concern, from what I understand, why it's taking so long is the warranty issues.
Is this a FiddleWig item for this afternoon?
Well, maybe. That's a lesson learned. I may mention that too. In my view, there is a difference in major warranties, which are expensive, and expensive, complicated piece of equipment. In this case, we're talking a frame, which is pretty simple, of the crowder, the whole mechanism. I think it's been already ruled to be built properly, and it works pretty it's a simple device. The only thing is undersizing of the motor, of the brush. Why not void the warranty for the speed, for the sake of expediency, and to be able to remedy it quicker, because the fish passage cannot wait. That's what I wrote to Harry and Natalie as a lesson learned in the future, because they always, the construction always throws this argument against us. Warranty, like some sort of untouchable,
so
you know.
What is the situation then? It is under warranty or it's not?
It is, but this is most likely, I'm assuming, I don't know even for a fact, all the facts, it was a design error, because the undersized motor was design issue.
So
same as the
follow-up contractor, you get the contractor out there.
Right, but because of the warranty issue, you have to dance around the edges. There's lots of paperwork. But then my point was, why not even void this? What's the value of this warranty? Yeah. A few $100? Alleged warranty, by the way. Because if you touch it, well, the whole device now is going to be off warranty.
Yeah.
The device is simple.
Yeah.
I don't even think that we'll have any problems after this.
It's on the fairway now. I think it was the ice harbor pumps. We put up with bad pumps for a couple of years just because of this warranty thing until they finally got fed up after 2 years or 3 years.
Yeah.
And went ahead and bought new pumps. So,
but this
you
is
get stuck that way.
Yeah, and this is minutiae. I mean, the pumps could be much more serious amount of mining involved.
Yeah.
In this case, it's minutiae, I'm repeating, which is really kind of upsetting for me, too.
Yeah.
That this cannot be moved out.
Well, that's it's
complain about it at FiddleWig.
Either case, it's at FiddleWig.
Yeah. It's on the agenda.
Okay.
And then we'll complain about it at SCT.
But at this point, there is some plan to temporarily clean the window on a regular basis. I mean, it has swept good the last...
As it was accomplished, well, we don't have any other choice.
Okay. But it's not...
Lengthwise.
Strong, sweaty guy.
Big sweaty.
Yeah.
It is the worst I've ever seen a window.
You need to work out, Bob. Here, that gym membership. Those scrub windows.
So, yeah, gym membership.
Okay.
Is it good? That's
okay. Good. Thank you.
Put Tim down there.
Where's the brush?
I'd have to modify the contract to have Tim go into it.
Right. 3.4, just the nav lock on June 14. I understand there's some work starting that will result in the nav lock taking an extra 15 minutes to
right.
empty.
It's going
to
slow down the barge traffic, and the only impact is on the... And the fish barges, that's why it is on this agenda.
Yeah, so there's, it's not really much of a discussion topic, just let people know.
That's okay.
So
when I do my, our pools for how fast the boats go down,
right.
I also kind of
factor that in now. Yeah. All right, so now we're on 3.9 on the agenda, and we have a number of items that were added here for Portland District to start with.
Hey, I was just figuring that's what Walla Walla does to me all the time.
So we'll call it, for the agenda purpose, 3.9.1, will be Bonneville, the Dalles, John Day, Lamprey trapping request and procedure.
I sent out Aaron Jackson's proposal yesterday, I think it was. He wants to do his John Day trapping like he has done in previous years, but he also wants to add in, is Aaron on the phone? He was going to call in. But he also wanted to add the Dalles and Bonneville to his trapping.
In like a similar location at John Day?
Similar locations, okay. Yeah.
Because he's not getting in.
They're targeting 500 lamprey, and they don't generally get the 500 lamprey. He also wants the extra research fish that are collected at Bonneville. I don't anticipate that there will be many of those, but basically UPCOM just needs to weigh in as to whether or not they approve putting those lamprey pot traps behind the picket leads at the Dalles and John Day.
Is there a way that maybe we can also have a recording of incidental catches, if possible? What I'm getting at, if fish that may go through the picketed leads and into the trap, is that possible?
Yeah, we can get that. He's supposed to send me weekly reports for every project.
Yeah, because that might be interesting later on for some other information.
They're little, but they're volitional. It's a volitional entry.
Okay.
But they're using, what are they using for a bait on those? Anything? Nothing. Or is it just volitional?
No, they just.
I don't think they have any bycatch of other species.
You know what I'm getting at is seeing if anything's going inside, because that's a curiosity I have in the ones on the Snake River, too.
I can touch on that.
They'd have to be juvenile.
Yeah. But the juveniles, that's no biggie.
I just took a brief look at it. It looked like they were talking about in the count behind picket leads are in AWS supply areas in most cases, but they also kind of left it up to the Corps' discretion as to where. So were you guys going to recommend other locations? And also maybe in the tail race in areas near.
He said off the face of the dam. I don't think that's really feasible.
Okay.
And certainly not without some thorough investigation as to what that really means.
Okay, yeah, I wasn't sure about that one either.
When they started at John Day, we were hoping that we could get them to put them into the AWS.
Right.
See what we got coming under the grading.
Right.
But we never were able to pull that off because of access.
How to get access to it,
but we may be able to revisit that again at the Dalles.
Well, there's places at Bonneville where you can get access behind, or you just drop them over the edge of the wall. Yeah. So,
if nothing else, just an extra trap that they could throw in there to see what we get.
But nowhere where salmon would be.
Yeah.
Better not be.
No problem.
Okay.
If they want to go in the main ladder, then it's a different issue. But that'd be nothing.
Probably
going to
leave.
Okay.
I
think you won't let them do that.
Okay. Now we'll move to 3.9.2, which, Ben, I don't know what you were calling your agenda item that you wanted to add. Sockeye.
Debris.
Tie crane,
debris issue.
Yeah, we can call it any and all of that, I suppose. The situation we're having at the current time is kind of timely, really, for FPOM. We have an outage scheduled for the corn oil collector to be closed this morning for a couple hours so Patel could fix some broken
transducers,
yep. And couldn't open the tie cream because of wind. So that was the end of that. They still need to make the repair. I don't know if that's going to get pushed off till next week or what the story is. But that's kind of a, you know, less frequent thing. Our biggest thing right now is once we get flows to get up in the range where they are now, we start to run into, of course, clogging, debris issues, and the same things we've always gotten. But the difference is now, you know, we always refer to these things will get better when the tie crane comes back, and we'll be able to do this when the tie crane comes back. Well, it's not necessarily the case, because the tie crane is back, and it's back with limitations that it didn't have before. So when we have wind that's 15 miles per hour and we're picking anything classified as a sail, which is most of the things we pick over there. That's the bulkhead for the corner collector. That's the VBSs. That's this back screen for the VBSs. And if we have wind of 15 or greater, we can't pick those with the tie crane.
Unfortunately, we never have that one.
Yeah, it's rare.
No. It's dead air here normally. So obviously, that's going to be a frequent problem for us. And right now, just to give you an example, if those guys have the opportunity to use the tie crane, and we have debris up and down the powerhouse,
yeah.
If they go down and don't have any wind, they can do all of those in one day. And have all the VBSs cleaned, say, like today going into the weekend. But that's assuming no wind. As soon as there's wind, we can no longer open the corner collector, nor can we pull those screens out and put them over the forebay like we used to do. So what they've gone to exclusively is keeping them in the slot. You put a backer screen behind them, another VBS behind them. You pull up the main VBS, you hose it off into the slot, the gate well slot. Give a few minutes for stuff to kind of get drawn wherever it's going to go, either against the backer screen or suck through the orifices or whatever. And then you put the VBS back and you pull the backer and you hopscotch down the deck that way. It's doable.
What's the issue, Ben?
The issue is wind.
No, I understand. Nothing you can do about that. The corner collector will get a gate hoist on there to fix that. That's Scott's final parting shot.
And the other issue is the use of a backer screen.
Yeah, then we'll have to use the backer screen, and that's you'll have to do that. And we'll lose some, the debris will go through the, take longer, and
won't be effective.
We probably won't lose any fish, but maybe a few between the screens.
Yeah, but it's also not going to be effective.
Well, no, because there'll be some debris left in the gate well, but yeah. That's the only choice you have. What's your other alternative would be to not have a backer screen and let the debris and fish during the gate well go down to the unit.
Right.
That's the other alternative, yeah.
And at some point, I mean, that's what we did when we had severe debris. We had to pull SDSs and everything.
Yeah, and I think that's okay.
Our question is, when does it get to be okay?
Right. I understand. So that's the question here. Is at what point do we? Yeah.
Because technically, if we can't pick up that backer screen because say it's too windy, that leaves us with having to dip gate wells, and then you're in an even longer process for them to move through and get these things cleaned. They might get three cleaned in a day, and then the next day they got to come in and they have to clean 18 because it's bad every time. And then whatever two happen to be the worst, and it just, they can't ever catch up.
Okay, there's a lot of pieces to this. I mean, we need to think about turbine survival for the individual fish and the time of the year and the type of operation, the powerhouse, and how many fish could be lost in the operation. I don't see it being decided here or now. There's just too many little pieces we need to think about. Well, maybe you guys can figure it all out today, but I'd like to take a little time.
Can you increase the bill?
Well, you can. The question would be, at what point would you say, don't bother with the backing screen, just pull it and flush
it? Pick up mortality rate.
And the mortality would go, then you'd pick up some mortality through turbines.
Pick a mortality rate at the JVSA.
That's the offside. Right,
yeah,
that's the downside.
If you see...
At some point, then it one side one offsets the other, but I can't do that math in my head right now, so... But it's an analysis that we could do. Well, we have data, and we have turbine survival data. We know how that varies with different species. With steelhead, I'd be real concerned. So spring, I don't know about that. But for this time of year, when we have mostly sockeye and sub-rearing chinook, smaller fish tend to survive better through those turbines. So, but that's variable depending on how many units you have running.
Yeah.
The tail race conditions vary. So.
Lots of.
I want to think about all these variables before I made a recommendation.
You only run these variables when you load the powerhouse. I mean, this is when we're at full flow. Get this fractured stuff coming down.
Well, I know, but I mean, then focus. So then for those conditions, yeah. But that's what we need to have. So
I think it'd be easy for, not easy, but I mean, Bonneville Project, we could come up with
developing a type of protocol that says, okay, at what level, you know, do we go through, okay, here's where we can leave backer screen in, and here's where it gets to be a problem, and when we can't keep up, and here's where we pull screens, period. I mean,
we have that
in the FPP.
It's
so.
Just that now we have to do it with the tie crane, not just with the gantry.
Right.
But the backer screen, that's the portion that gets to be, that's really the crux of the question.
It is.
Because we can, you know, run, if we can run the tie crane and the wind isn't, we can't do the tie crane, it's anything over 20, period. We can't do it 15 with a sail or 20 at all. At 20, it gets parked.
What'd you do in the past?
Whatever we wanted. I mean, I'm not kidding.
We took
the tie crane when we had it. We swung the VBSs out over the forebay. You hosed them out there, and then you swung them back in.
If you could get them back.
If you could get them back is a good point, because those things have, on more than one occasion, been caught by the wind and started swinging.
Right.
It is not something you want swinging.
No.
You've seen them pulled up. They're big.
Yeah, it'll kill somebody.
You got guys on the ground, and, yeah, they're holding a rope hooked to that thing, so it's... That's what we have to avoid.
I mean, the point is you have criteria now. That's what it is. So we need to come up with a recommended level of debris, mortality, whatever, that says go ahead and pull the back screen and flush it in the gate well and let it go down through the unit. That's what you're looking for.
And you're weighing. How quickly you get the screens and the unit back into a clean situation. So,
right.
So you're affecting a short window compared to a long passage window or
right.
a longer passage window. So, yeah.
So, yeah, but that's, I don't have a recommendation at this point.
No.
I'll make it an action.
And these units are running during these activities with the exception of dipping gate wells.
You wouldn't need to. You wouldn't take it offline. You would just let it run, and whatever debris is in there would flush out the back. So, are we in a situation right now where you have to make a decision? I mean, are you able to keep up? The mortality has, I think, gone down for sockeye.
Yeah, it was like a 2 or 3 day spike.
Yeah, it was just the numbers of sockeye are going down.
Kind of slid past that.
Yeah, they're getting the stuff you can't look at in real time. They're getting off those screens because they get a slug of them down there as we clean them. And, you know, the sky is falling, but the sky had been falling the night before. You know what I mean? Those things are plastered on screens sometimes.
Yeah, then they see
it. And they see it the next morning or whenever they see them. But anyway, they come through the system kind of strange. And, you know, Dean does understand that, and he can see it in fish condition. I mean, some are obviously 2 days old versus...
Yeah, he's been against the screen for a while.
Yeah, he actually wrote that on his report, that a lot of the fish he was seeing were from the day before or 2 days ago.
So that, which is fine. I mean, it's good to know at any time, but, the real-time feedback is a little bit harder. But where our main concern is being able to keep the screens clean...
Right.
consistently, and we don't have a good way to do it because it's so slow. You end up in just a cycle of rolling back through your screens again.
Sounds
and I make
familiar.
It sound like we can make multiple runs through it.
Sounds
it's really
familiar.
More like we did 3 today. Let's see if we can finish the powerhouse tomorrow. And certain ones, like 18, 15, need to be cleaned every day.
Almost constantly.
So if you only clean 3 and 2 have to be 15 and 18, you're only able to pick a new one once per day.
Okay.
Yeah, and I realize it's not the easiest thing to come up with a solution for, but it's something that I think if we had some guidance on here to, you know, base it on, you know, how many fish we think we're sending through the unit or what's an acceptable number during this process if we don't have the backer screen in, that's kind of some of the guidance I'm looking for.
How about something... Just stupid idea. What is if we? How long does it take to pull an STS to just put that in a stow position so you're not fishing? So basically, the fish aren't going through the unit. I can say that's stupid, anyways. Because if you pull the VBS, there's
going to
be anyway. So
that's
too much work. Oh. I don't know if you. they pull the GPS or some other terms, so why not?
Critical pieces of information, Ben, would be how long it takes to clean the screen. So how many, and you've got pretty well, there's not a lot of residence time, so fish are moving through those gate wells pretty fast. They don't, they're dead. So I wouldn't anticipate a lot of fish in the gate well. So it's kind of really going to come down to how long it takes you to do the cleaning. How long would the back screen be out? Would the system be open to the unit for each of those? And that'll give us an idea of how many fish should be impacted.
Raise it, hose it.
And just bits of that kind of information is needed to make a decision.
Sure.
So if you guys could kind of frame this up for the committee in terms of here's what we want to do and here's the timing, and you know, it's like Dennis says, this is going to happen when we have the units fully loaded, so, and the powerhouse fully loaded, so I would expect survival for at least small fish to be pretty good through the system.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing new at all, and it's just when we get up in the pretty much over 300 range, river gets enough to be causing a little bit of trouble, but in the past it's not been as much trouble, and then what we always fell back on was the tide crane's ability to do this, and it's really...
Four Bay was a little higher this year than it has been in the past, and we pulled a lot of debris off the riverbank.
Yep. And this isn't massive stuff that we're looking at. There's some big stuff in the Four Bay, but it's...
a lot of little stuff.
Yeah, it's a lot of little stuff on the VBSs, and they're clogging up pretty regular. I mean, they worked all last weekend, and I'm pretty certain they're going to be here all this weekend.
Okay, well, there's no doubt we had... I mean, this is something I want to talk about, too. We had sockeye mortality that... with 10, 12% descaling in 30% range. Didn't see that at John Day. It was a lot lower. So, and I don't think it's caused by the dalles, so I'm thinking it's probably the gate wells at Bonneville. And it's debris-related. It may also be just turbulence-related in those gate wells. We've got we still have our Spring Creek-type problem there. We still have a problem with turbulence, I think, and sockeye just don't take that as well as other species. So we've got to be sensitive to this issue, and I think in the long term there's going to have to be a design fix. But for the short term, those units need to be not run at peak at the high end at all. We need to have a limitation there. And with cleaning has to be...
What level of gas do you want?
I know.
The other option is just take the screens out for a little while until the flows drop back off.
Yeah, that's an option. Yeah. So those are things we need to talk about. But I mean, I think the main point right now is we do need to do something about this. It needs to be on the agenda, and there needs to be some discussion about options.
What are we talking about?
Ignoring it won't work.
What are we talking about then on that special fit of next Thursday?
Are we?
Yeah, the B2FG stuff and the BGS and... That's all slated for next Thursday.
I thought that was mainly just spill.
That's what it was.
I didn't know we were talking
Thursday,
about.
It's Thursday, the 17th? 17th?
Oh, the 24th. What's the 17th?
The 17th is a special fitter rate for B2FGD.
Not on my calendar. Sorry.
I sent that all out to everybody. Just a couple weeks ago.
Haven't been around for weeks, and I've got thousands of emails.
Here?
It was going to be at Robert Duncan Plaza.
Well, that's SCT.
SCT is in the morning.
Right. Here. It's going to be in the afternoon.
You could have it here.
Why don't you have it here?
I think there was a suggestion to have it here. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not going down there, so.
You want your first?
Jeez. I don't
think that matters.
I think the room is open. We've got reserved on the
I think there was a suggestion by somebody to have it here.
When the rubber glove goes on, you know.
Oh, snap.
Latex is worse.
The funny guy with the dainty hands. So
yes.
So I don't know about that meeting, but whatever that means. So we've got a meeting to talk about this whole issue of gay
well mortality. Kind of like the B2 configuration talk. FGE, BGS, out year program. It's kind of a here's where we are. Here's what we've done.
BGS.
Here's all the different plans or all the different avenues we could take.
What time? 1 o'clock?
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Yep, 1 o'clock. Probably here, I thought for sure.
Good.
Good. Okay, so all of our problems will be solved on the 17th.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll start holding my breath now.
I love it.
I see it's a lot of this is going to be O&M. I don't know. And I mean, we can talk about long-term fixes. It's going to take time, and whatever they do there will be, you know, maybe a deflector or something like that. But until we get there, there's going to have to be some O&M type fixes here.
That's what I was going to suggest, is that for action items, for next FPOM, we get an update on that meeting, the 17th meeting. We bring that back here so we can keep on top of it rather than start to splinter and then folks think, we'll handle it here.
Right.
So
you can put me down as an action item to give a briefing in the 17th meeting of what came out of it.
Great. Thank you.
Most of the managers in here will hopefully be at that meeting.
Yeah.
You're not true.
Thank you.
Yeah, that sounds good. You know, I'd like to continue. I mean, what Ben brings up has to be dealt with this group, so that's follow on.
Okay.
But I don't want to talk about it. Ben, are you okay for now?
Yeah, I mean, this has come to me three times in the last 2 days. Like, What can we do? What can we do? How come we were able to not use the backer screen when we had the screens pulled before? And I explained, you know, that was a extreme situation, and they prefer to have the backer screens used. But there's got to be some line in there where that threshold's met again, and we just don't know what that is.
Well, as far as I know, today is like our biggest flow day of the season. It's downhill from here. Yeah. And it's fast. Downhill.
Can we quote you on that?
What?
We'll quote you on that.
Quote the river forecast. NOAA's river forecast.
Everybody's pointing that finger that way.
They're doctors. They're doctors, yeah.
Hey,
the sun's going to start shining tomorrow.
Dennis, what's your meeting called?
Yeah, the high elevation snow is going
to be. It'll
be
a configuration.
It'll be a slow configuration.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But is it like a... is it like a special FPOM task group?
It's a special SWG.
Okay.
SWG.
And it deals with all the complexities of the four-bay hydraulics, the issues associated with the BGS for the last 2 years of research,
okay.
The issues associated with gate well, issues associated with the B2 FGE improvements. So there's three, there's a lot of big things,
a lot of discussion
that are all coming to a head at B2.
So it sounds like it'd be more appropriate to call it like an SRWG / FPOM special meeting.
It's actually,
and then we'll bring it back here.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah,
it's a fitter again.
It's all in the SRWG.
It's a fitter
But it's of course operations.
So that's going to be a problem.
Well,
all right.
It's only a problem if they don't report back, but once he reports back on that, it won't be a problem that it's not an FPOM issue.
The issue here is that's going to be long term. That's construction general stuff. There's all O&M issues we have to deal with immediately. So that's kind of spinning in one area. This is going to have to spin in some other.
Okay, good. We're set on that. We're going to move on to our next agenda item under other, which 3.9.3, and I guess let's just call this debris spill as the topic.
We're there. Okay, good.
The issue is some inconsistency, I think, in the FPP that we need to tighten up a little bit. Just in terms of like Lower Granite, for instance, they did a debris spill because they had a lot of debris stacking up in front of them. And so they, you know, we're move that downstream. Well, now you go to Little Goose and you read the FPP and it says we'll do FPOM coordination for the debris spill, and then we'll do the same thing at LOMO. And to me, I'm not trying to tell you what's important to you, but I'm not so sure that you want a continual, like in this season like we have right now where we're getting debris. Do you want coordination and approval on debris spill? Or can we just brief at FPOM, say, hey, we had to do a debris spill, just because it seems to be kind of cumbersome to coordinate each debris spill continually.
As it passes the Snake River.
What's different when you do a debris spill than when you're spilling?
It'll be over the gate all the way.
Yeah, it's a different operation entirely.
Open and close for 2 hours.
It's a different spill pattern.
Yeah. It's a different spill pattern.
So, so we might want to consider incorporating a debris spill pattern in there and approve it.
Oh, God.
No.
Either say it's okay to do it or just say this is what happened.
Well, usually it's a very short operation. Yeah. I mean, just talking about from Bonneville.
Exactly.
It's like we get wads of trash over there in front of the left bay 11. There's so many more issues. Bay 1 or bay by 18, and we just have to open those bays larger for a short period of time. And then you're back to normal. So it's like a 15-minute
Yeah, and it's basically the spill itself is only 30 minutes up there in the snake. That's it, but to get to that operation, you've got to change the gates, and that takes up to an hour on either end. 3 minutes on either end, I should say.
I like the coordination. I recall we've done this over the last 10, 15 years, and Rex used to call me up about the debris spill. And there were concerns and issues, and it's going to take me a while to come to remember all of that, but I do like the coordination. Okay. To know when the debris spills prior to them happening.
Well, I guess
planning in that. So
maybe if we can coordinate it at Lower Granite and then make the assumption that that is going to follow through.
Not necessarily. No, I think that I would like to know when it's happening at Lomo, when it's happening at Little Goose, when it's happening at Ice Road. Now, I'll have to come back to you about all the reasons why we've done that in the past. It's been 5 years probably since we had to coordinate on it, maybe less. You haven't, since you
don't. I think we did one
last year.
2 years ago when we had the high flow.
2 years ago, you did a bunch.
Yeah.
Last year, you did one or two.
Yeah, that's right.
Because we did a couple of them.
So please, okay. Coordinate.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it may be a real quick thing because it depends upon the wind, where that raft of wood is, on what side of the river it is. Is it in the powerhouse or is it in the middle of the night? Is it going to be right there in front of the spill bays? I mean, that's a thing. I mean, we're going to have to do it when the wood's right in front of the spill bays.
It's a little goose in the high crest position, so it's not flowing all the stuff out.
Right, yeah, there's all those different
We timed that so beautifully on the high crest.
Wasn't that nice?
I love it.
Perfectly.
Okay, so you want continued...
Okay.
Please, yeah, okay. Just inform, and could be done all through email.
All right.
Inform when you have planned to do it and how you plan to do it.
Could we do three coordinations at once, though, saying Lower Granite, 2 days later, Little Goose, 2 days later, Lomo, or something?
Well, you can.
If you know
that
time.
That's a way to plan it. But
sounds to me like these are different, though.
Yeah.
That's what Greg's saying, is we can't have a pattern.
Yeah, it's going to be, it would be hard to do what was suggested about, you know, getting a pre-scheduled spill table.
It doesn't sound like a work setup.
Yeah. No.
Well, but it can be a general.
It can be a general pattern, but that's about it.
When we've done this, where steelhead would get plugged up, juvenile steelhead would get plugged up in the forward bay, say, a Little Goose.
Yes.
Now they're not because we've got the surface flow there. They're moving right through the project. But in the past, when you're messing around with debris, then you've got a whole lot of juvenile steelhead in that forward bay. It affects them.
And it'll also start plugging up the orifice, too.
You know. What?
It also affect the orifice, too, like last year.
Yeah.
You know, orifice. That's the thing. And so we got to keep that in consideration.
Yeah.
I don't want to plug the orifice.
Okay. So what we'll do is when we will coordinate this and queue it up for, you know, what we expect is if we do one at Granite, we're going to continue to do it down through the system. And so we'll do the best we can to lay out at least in anticipation of multiple debris spills down through the system, but we'll coordinate that.
Okay.
But so then taking it a step further where the rubber meets the road is for Granite, for example. So did they do the one at Granite already?
Yes, they've completed that.
So they've completed the one at Granite, because as worded in the Fish Passage Plan, it's a tell for Granite because it basically says when River Forecast Center is above 200K at Granite, it'll be a do. But then the inconsistency comes through the rest of the projects in the snake. The caveat in the verbiage in the Fish Passage Plan for the other projects is based on approval. And so that's where the other snake projects are different than Granite. So I guess now
you have an automatic question.
Granite, you get out of jail free card.
Whatever you need to.
When it's above 200, just do it. But then that sets up.
Well, but how long do you do for? Just do like 2 hours? Just,
no.
Do, yeah, do the operate. Do the debris spill. Whatever it takes, an hour, 2 hours, maybe three, do it. But the idea is then you spill it at Granite in a day and a half to 2 days, it's going to be a goose. And then, but the crux of it is then, as we're in the Fish Passage Plan, it says based on approval. And I think it says coordination and approval. I think everything's fine if we could just get rid of the term approval, because coordination, to me, for example, is that it shouldn't be a surprise. And I think at FPOM we should be able to coordinate and say, like today, for example, and in out years, it'll be pretty much known during the spring freshet this is going to happen probably quite frequently. And so it creates an approval challenge in that, you know, a lot of these things, these are pulses in nature. There
hasn't been a problem before.
No, Bill, but it could be. And you just need to be aware that if you're going to hold the core to approval, in the time that it takes to get that approval, you could get a wind out of the north,
right,
push all the debris that's in front of the spillways to in front of the powerhouse, and then you're in trouble while you're waiting for that approval. It hasn't happened, but it could.
They want to do this right now at Goose, and based on the Fish Passage Plan as worded, they've been waiting for our feedback today to see how this is being addressed. And to me, it doesn't make a lot of sense. It doesn't make a lot of sense in that I think...
Well, play devil's advocate. I mean, it's like, it is pretty easy to send out, hey, we're going to do a debris spill,
right,
send an email.
Sure.
If we don't hear back from you, we're going to do it.
Right,
and then the rest up on us is to respond to you and that kind of stuff. So you kind of have to go.
What's the shortest turnaround you guys would be comfortable with as far as feedback?
I'm just saying, like, send an email out and say, hey, if we don't hear by the end of the day, we're planning to do it.
But, like,
sure, that's one thing, but we're waiting for approval is something else.
Yeah, and that's
people are out. Yes, it's not approval. To be assumed as approval. I've gotten told that so many times that you now want to change it.
I think the nice way to make the most sense is just to modify the Fish Passage Plan. Whatever verbiage you would like to see, I'm more than happy to change it as such, but just to do something other than, you know, we know when flows get up above 200K, they're going to do a debris spill at Granite. It's going to show up at Goose 2 days later. How many emails do we need to send out with everybody's busy schedule to ask for an approval for a 2-hour debris spill at Goose and then potentially Lomo? You know, it's a sequential event. It's predictable. We're relatively all understand what the operation entails. Can we write it more intelligent in the Fish Passage Plan to just be more proactive? Can we just do an FPOM tell and say, you know, when they do happen, come to FPOM and say, this is what happened?
Or even
how can we get around an approval? To me, it's challenging to for something that doesn't seem to...
You make a lot of sense, Doug, but I'm real hesitant about this because that we have functioned quite well with the language that's in there for years.
Okay.
And in the past, it's been very, very important to have a coordination and approval on when we did these.
Okay.
Because we changed operations at that time for it. So I'll consider it, but I don't want to agree to changing this today.
So, okay, Bill, would you be okay with having a change form come next month to look at?
I'm fine, yeah.
But that said, for today and tomorrow,
put together an email and say, we want to do a debris spill of Goose. Here's how it's going to change the operations. How long?
Can I tell you right now how that's going to go?
Yes. And can we just because I can't type out between now and
right.
Walla Walla.
Yeah, we know. You're going to get 2 hours of debris spill.
Perhaps. And again, it might be three. There's jocking issues sometimes. I mean, I don't know how much time we're going to spend on this, but you get large wood. Sometimes it can get jacked around. So
yeah, I know.
So you know the song and dance. So I guess I'm just trying to, for everybody's sake of time, I guess how much do you want to know? I mean, they want to do it. They wanted to do it yesterday. We talked about the Fish Passage Plan.
Right.
We said we'd bring it today.
We're here today.
The project wants to do it tomorrow.
So no, they want to do it today at 1 o'clock.
Or excuse me, today at 1 o'clock.
Right.
But
so
the
you
idea
want to
is,
open Bay 2 the full way. So it used to be Bay 1, but we have a TSW there now.
Right,
so
we're not going to use Bay 1.
So you got to go Bay 2.
Right.
You're going to go full open tanner gate for...
Sure.
For probably 30 minutes to 45 minutes. That's what we've done
depending
in the past.
On,
and it's basically a 30-minute before and a 30-minute after.
Until it blows a bay down one way or the other. And then
you're
going to
shut Bay 1 down.
Yes.
For the hour, or the 3 hours.
TSW will be shut out.
Why would you shut the TSW off? That seems like that would actually be a good thing to leave open, so if
actually,
it happens to go
no.
over.
No, you would have to do that. keep it operating.
That's why I don't understand. Usually, you like the RSW at Lower Granite really passes through debris quite well.
It plugged up last year, remember?
Well, you got
TSW. At Douglas, the SW doesn't?
It does.
It does. Let's put it this way. Things are a lot better than they used to be.
Yeah. I was out at Granite on Tuesday, and it was amazing. There was just a couple logs that got hung up on the spill bay to the north of the RSW, and that created then it started snagging other logs. And so then you get a large raft of logs that stacked up at Granite, just a bay over from the RSW. Mm-hmm. And so that now has been passed, and it will. I would expect that same phenomenon to occur at Goose. In fact, it has, which is why we'd like to do a debris spill this afternoon at Little Goose.
Are folks okay
with that?
What's the added gas, the impact? I know you're approaching 130%.
Zero. Right.
Good point. Projects. That's
good point. It's going to be an increase in gas.
I doubt it.
Acutely dangerous.
We're going to have to shut down spill at Ice Harbor or Lomo.
I doubt it.
Bill,
there's nothing you can do. Right now, open and close the gate. There's nothing. It won't change gas much, is my guess, but if it does, there's nothing they're going to change downstream because we don't have enough turbines. What's coming through is coming through.
But that's not the point.
Would you exacerbate?
I understand, Scott, but it seems like.
But you're not going to change the spill cap and reduce the gas at Ice Harbor. You won't change the gas cap at Ice Harbor because of the spill and
that's
reduce
not
your
the
spill.
Point.
Well, that's what Bill's fearing.
Okay, but my point is, you'll just raise gas levels. You will. I mean, if you're going to
full bay one open, yeah,
go totally over the deflector, there won't be any.
But aren't we already there at 200,000?
No. Well, that's a good point. I mean, we're at 130% TDG at one of the projects I looked at, and 126, 27.
Granite.
Yeah, and that was a bit of an eye opener. And I didn't see a large response from fish on that yet, but there's a few. We did see some rank 3, mostly rank 1, just a few fish.
One, three.
But we're not looking at ice either, which is at the bottom of the system. So
we're looking at both.
All I'm saying is that you will. Increase gas a little bit, and you're in that situation where it's not good.
But isn't descaling?
But it's involuntary right now. You're talking about voluntarily changing that.
Right, but I guess how do you get around debris buildup in the four bay?
Well, it's a problem.
Is it really a
problem? You just have to offset off.
It will be if the wind shifts from the north
That's the fear, is if it gets pulled in front of the powerhouse, then you start
plugging
the orifices, and we don't want that. So it's
you balance it out.
It is a balance.
So
the goal is to
you got
to
consider everything
to quickly.
And good points indeed taken.
Pass it downstream. Mm-hmm. Are folks okay with that occurring this afternoon at Little Goose?
I can look at it.
Okay, you see, good.
Hey, Tammy or anybody on there, this is Don Erickson. I've got Tom North here. Whenever you're ready to talk about Bonneville.
Okay.
Doug, but you're going to send out information on it, too.
If you'd like, I'm more than happy to do that. I think it just inevitably, and then what happens when...
I didn't even hear about the Lower Granite.
Because as worded...
You don't have to.
As it's addressed in the... You do?
Do you want to get a
teletype?
We can do whatever we can with coordination. I think the challenge is just the term approval.
Rex was very thorough about that.
Okay.
Okay.
He was the debris coordinator, and I'd always get emails from Rex.
Bill, would you like to review the teletypes before it goes out and be the coordinator person?
Yeah, I can give you a call. I mean, we issue teletypes for these, so I'm more than happy to give you a call when we do that.
You don't need to give me a call. Email.
Okay.
Actually, for a teletype, I need to talk to a body, so...
Don't bother
her now. But you'd like a copy of the...
Email is okay. Sounds good.
Okay. Are you okay?
Okay. Thanks.
Can we go to Erickson's item?
Thanks, Doug.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay. We want to make it a lot more streamlined, but there was some reason that we did really coordinate well about this in the past, and I think Gary brought up some of the reasons. There's other ones, I think, that maybe that it's real change now, like I said, because we're getting stuff out of that four-bay a lot faster by surface rounds.
But we have seen some evidence of steelhead caking up a little bit, too, so still want to be careful, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Richie brought up that an issue the other day. So.
But I think that I'd like to capture whatever the concerns are and just get that in some verbiage and get it in the FPP. So if there are steelhead concerns, what are those? How can we operate accordingly? And then get it in the fish passage plan just so we can do these operations as they come up. I think I'm just... I'm categorizing this as a significant amount of time to put into an operation.
Send me an email about it, and that'll remind me.
Okay.
And I'll talk to Bailey and some of the old people that have been around for a while. There were some good reasons for us watching this.
Okay.
Sounds good. Okay.
All right. I have one other update that's not on the agenda. That'll be raceway tail screens. But before we get to that... Who's on the phone?
Erickson.
Okay.
Oh,
talking about the gate wolf.
Number 9.
Oh, okay, we're going to move to agenda item 9, Bonneville Gate Repair Pit.
Okay, well, let me give you a little bit of background information. I'm not sure how many of you are familiar with Bonneville and the spillway out there, but if you go out to the north end of the spillway, the gate repair pit is on the north end, and what's happened is the center pier of the gate repair pit over the years has moved downstream. It's probably offset now about 2 or 3 inches, and you can see kind of a little zigzag in the crane rail out there, plus it's also settled. And what's happened, or what has made us do, is we've basically shut down the crane from accessing the gate repair pit, and subsequently we have not done any maintenance on the gates, we have not inspected any of the spillway gates, and we have some concerns there. We got stimulus money this last year, And we are now have a contract to go out there and basically shore up the gate repair pit such that we can get the crane down there, we can get gates out there, get back into maintaining spillway gates, or at least inspect them to kind of see what kind of shape they're in. And so the work that's required is that the contractor needs to come in, he needs to put in an additional kind of grade beam at the bottom there, and then he's just going to put in some steel columns there to support that vertical girder that supports the crane. And he's out there now basically cleaning it up now. Of course, there's a lot of lead paint residue in the gate repair pit. You have to clean it up first, and then they'll come in and do the shoring work. So that means he's going to have to put in some, drill in some anchor bolts, and maybe drill in a few holes for some reinforcing steel. And so he's going to be working at that this summer. Our hope is, if he can get that done this summer, well, first of all, we got concerns. If we extend any further past September 30th, of course, with stimulus money, then we have funding concerns and some issues there. But the other thing is, if we can push hard and maybe wrap this up this summer, our hope is maybe we can get in there and actually start inspecting the gates. And Tom has told me there's some design deficiencies on the gates they want to look at. So that's what we're pushing to do. You know, the gates, of course, are 70 to 75 years old now. They've got cavitation problems but we just need to get in there and start inspecting those gates and doing some work on them. So that's where we're at.
So Don, what's the fishery related issues here? Are they going to be drilling into the wall, too close to the ladder, or?
Yeah, it's within 50 feet of the fish ladder.
And what kind of noise? What kind of duration? Time of day?
We do it at night, and basically what they'd be doing is basically drilling for anchor bolts.
And that's what size? What kind of drill are you talking about there? Is that a hammer or a...
Yeah, we're looking at a Hilti hammer drill,
right.
Probably installing a combination of a half-inch and...
Half-inch, okay, that's pretty small.
And in addition to that, we'll probably have to do some jackhammer chipping in order to prepare some surfaces as well, too.
Okay. Okay, and then... Dates of duration for that type of work, the actual noise?
Well, it's kind of fluid, but we've got some kind of dates here that the contractors proposed, starting on 21 June, ending about 16 August.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And you said night?
That should be okay.
Yes.
I think we're good, at least I am, as long as we don't get into much later in August.
Do you guys want to specify night times? Because what we usually do is give the contractor... At night, a start time?
What time?
Yeah.
So we've got 2200 hours to 0430 hours.
Jesus. Yeah, well, that's fine.
I think it's going to not be that bad.
Would you guys consider giving them a little extra time? Because 2200 is 10 o'clock at night.
I know, 21 would be fine, or even maybe 20.
Maybe 2000?
Yeah, 2000. Gary, can we use what's defined in the fish passage plan for night?
Bonneville has its own table.
I know, it changes that by the...
Can we use that table?
...day length.
We just need a time. Just give us a time. That's when we'll tell the contractor he has to work. And I think it's already in the contract if he has some restrictions like that.
I don't remember off the top of my head what it says. I think that's right.
I know we have it in there. I don't have it memorized either.
8 hours a night.
Are lamprey susceptible to vibrations from...
Good question.
I mean, that is kind of peak lamprey passage at night. It's that ladder. Of course, they're going...
They're
going to
get their own special ladder.
So there's actually, you know, where we're actually going to be working, there's about, 5 or 10 foot gap.
What's the start time?
In the fish ladder and where they're going to be working.
2000. No, I'm sorry.
So we're not going to be drilling into, certainly not into the fish ladder wall or anything like that.
You're just off. It's still kind of a concrete connection there.
No, actually, there's a gap there.
Is there a gap? Oh, I guess there is, too, a gap, because I remember I used to park my truck right there. Okay. You're right. No, I don't have a problem.
2200 is probably a good start time.
Yeah, unfortunately, we found a gap there, and we're now cleaning out all the contaminated lead residue out of the gap.
No, there is a gap. You're right.
That's working.
If you want to start with 2200 hours, but you start with that, and if you guys start running into like you're not going to get the work done, come back to us, and we can talk about it. Maybe start a little early if you have to.
Good enough. Okay.
Yeah, that works for you.
Thank you.
So 20 to 400.
Yep.
Since Tammy's feeding us, I gotta be nice today.
Yes.
We got 2200. That's what I think.
The table too,
is there a 4:30?
Right. So you got a couple extra hours, and you're going right now. Our understanding is you're going through August 16.
Mm-hmm.
So we're good with that.
Yeah.
My only concern is when we get on the really high passage time. You know, we get late August, tens of thousands of fish trying to get through that ladder.
Understood.
Then we'd be more sensitive, and that would be mainly late last week of August and the first couple of 3 weeks of September.
7.2
million. We've got a conference call with a contractor at 1 o'clock, and we'll emphasize he needs to certainly be out by 16 August.
Okay. Well, we're good then. Sounds good.
Hey, Don.
Yeah, thanks, Eric.
Don, are they going to do other work that doesn't require noise?
Since then.
They're cleaning up right now and washing stuff up and shoveling out lead contamination.
I mean, their work window is actually larger than that if it's not making noise.
It's just it's a steel erection that will be going on at that time, and we don't anticipate that that's going to be a noise issue.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's mostly just the drilling and putting in the anchor bolts. I guess is the only thing I can think of.
But not
small.
Is this a nightly activity or?
This is Don. This is June. Night? What time? Again, I'll just write this down. June what?
21st.
21.
Yeah, June 21st
through August 16. And we're going 2000 or 2200.
I have 22, but we can tell the contractor if he can start at 2000, that's fine.
No,
2200. I know. I don't care if they go 2000. 2000 is 5 o'clock. I thought we understood 2000 till 400.
Okay. You want 2000 till 0400?
Yeah, 8 o'clock. We're giving you 8 o'clock till 400.
Okay, we'll let the contractor know today.
And 21, June 21 through August 16. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Go forth and conquer.
Great, thanks, Gary.
Have fun drilling.
Okay, thank you.
All right,
thanks.
Yep.
Okay.
Jackhammer and that might be something.
Going to move back to this issue of raceway tail screens. So just to give you some context on this, from June 4 to June 9 at Little Goose, we've collected over 100,000 juvenile lamprey.
Wow.
Yep. So
overnight.
Read that by again, please.
Right. June 4 to 9.
Yeah.
It's amazing how a turbid event and
this is one,
slushing up the old.
One night, 47K.
Oh,
I'm
not surprised.
June
9.
When
you blow out streams, that's when they're going to show.
How many?
Over 100,000. And it's
macrophilia,
right?
And browns, I understand.
And browns, both.
And browns.
I don't know the breakdown.
Okay.
And you said one night. How many?
47K.
June what date?
June 7 collection, first thing in the morning.
47?
47. Amazing.
That's when you
see them.
So that's good news, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, how did they fare is the better news. That's the one who's
actually
more interested in.
All those smolts in the raceway are showing. Bites on them.
I'm not surprised.
So, here's the issue: is those
they're guided by the screens, the e-screens, guided.
Yeah.
Somewhat. Yeah. Well, yeah, they're definitely getting guided.
Because, well, the turbine strainers, we don't have a June estimate here.
No. The last day they did the sampling at Little Goose was last week.
May 31st.
Yeah.
That'll be tough.
And there's
now
no
it'll be interesting.
Yeah,
this will be interesting, this next report.
So
why don't you have them go out and check the strainers now?
Well, it should be a weekly or bi-weekly thing to look at. There should
tell
be.
Them to take a look at it next week after the pressure goes through.
Yeah.
Please do.
Okay.
I'll mention it to them.
Well, they might be covered.
Or these are fish that were migrating at Granite just the week before when you had that high number at Granite.
Yeah, it would make sense that they're...
Yes,
interesting.
If these didn't come out of a tributary between Granite and Goose.
I can't. No, I don't think there is anything there. There's nothing there.
This is a big chunk there.
Yeah, there's nothing there.
Granite, a couple of few days.
Ditches, yeah, you're good. Yeah.
So,
there used to be a Chinook.
As you recall, we have those raceway tail screens.
Yeah.
And... The current screen size on that is 7.2 millimeters to meet fry criteria.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in looking at this, that's also a problem area for juvenile lamprey. They like to wrap themselves around that screen. They can't get through it.
Yeah.
Is it a foot plate?
This is wire mesh.
And so if we could get them if we could get juvenile lamprey through that screen, at least some of them through that screen, and I need to I was just learning about some of this stuff on my drive up last night, and so I know at Little Goose, and Eric, feel free to pipe in here, but at Little Goose, if you could get them through that screen, then the drain there actually joins back up with the juvenile.
It goes right in the
right back
the
to
tailory,
the juvenile outfall. Bypass system into the outfall.
Into the tailory.
And so it puts them into a good
where
you want them to be.
Same with fry. Some on it fry. 32 millimeter.
Smolts from going to the tailories.
Mm-hmm. So we bypass now. We're collecting.
We've been in collection since.
But if we could let juvenile lamprey pass through those screens, they're going to a good spot. And so the one thought is that could...
Meets the outfall criteria? What do you mean good spot?
Yeah, it would
it's better than there than stuck on a screen.
Yeah, being you want them stuck on a screen or you want them out of the system? Is the question.
Tim, is there any passage timing?
Passage timing flow of water? No, I couldn't tell.
Is it morning, day, night, all the time? Is there any way we can ease it?
I think it's just a matter of when the flow. It's flow dependent, not time of day dependent from what I've...
Yeah,
I would agree with that.
Yeah, you'd have to look at that flood of water.
You couldn't pull the screen for a couple hours and put back in. There's no trade-off.
No, and once you pull the screen, you can't have juveniles in the... because they're gone.
They're gone.
No, there would be a period you wouldn't collect anything. I mean, I was just trying to probe what trade-offs you might be able to make.
You'd be trading off your transport fish for that amount of time.
Have you guys thought about doing two types of screens?
I had that epiphany the other day.
Some magical day, I said, okay, we'll give lamprey the nod, and then after that day, go to a fry, the fry
Back to the fire screen, yeah. You know, two different sets of tail screens.
That's essentially what I'm thinking is developing. Yeah. We already have our 7.2 millimeter.
How many fire? They do collect it. They have some smoke monitoring device. They do.
Unfortunately, I didn't bring some of that because I was just getting up to speed on this.
Right. Yeah. Like I'm saying, 32 millimeters fried. Do you want those in the raceways? I mean, they do get in the raceways. And that's what we got to find out. How many?
Probably also my project too.
I want to talk more with
some of the Lamprey folks and get a little bit. I hesitated even bringing this forward, but I'm bringing it because I had information.
What's your transport benefits?
Tim, I would suggest that if you're going to go through the effort of making new screens, have George and that crew look at how the screen is fitting in the slot. Because in addition to all the lamprey that are kind of getting stuck in the screen, tremendous numbers of fish get caught in the slot. So we had talked when I was there about redoing the frames. We never really came up with a good design. So but if you're going to take the time to do it, let's do it right.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Good point.
Yeah. So I think it would make sense to, and again, this is premature because I don't feel like I've had time to run this to ground yet, but to develop two screens, the existing screen and then like a 12 millimeter gap screen so that it's...
this will allow the lamprey to exit.
Allow lamprey to not get impinged. Yeah.
And you may not want a vertical bar in here.
That's why I was thinking you may do more of a vertical bar system than a wire mesh.
Derek?
The wire mesh is definitely not as friendly to lamprey.
Yeah, we could look at that.
Johnson bar or whatever type of vertical bar screen.
That was just the initial...
I would talk to some lamprey folks and see.
Yeah, that would be lamprey. We just don't want to...
Right. So.
Fry are fine.
Yeah. I can't imagine. And that's the other thing, Tim, that might be helpful for the committee is some photographs of the current screen, maybe with some lamprey, and just an array of the juvenile salmonids. Because I think that you could go 12 easily and not risk losing fish. I really do.
Yeah. That 12 actually. That was. I was asking George for kind of his what size and he. His recommendation was 12. I need to run that to ground with.
But visualizing, I think that'd be fine.
Like, is I guess big enough. The question is it too big?
The key, make sure that it's not passing subural, or I mean, like, the zero H Chinook, not subural, you know, 90 millimeter.
Yeah.
We don't want that going to those fish ponds. Exactly. If you're going to leave it in there all season, just do it once. Let's make sure that we don't pass those fish through it. Fry are fine. I think you can figure it out. It's just I'm not sure what it is.
Yeah.
If it's 12 is a magic number.
So then, if we get these new screens, use the old screens normally, but then when we think high flows.
I was thinking just going left. If it's something that's the main outfall, go to your lamprey prior to screens.
All the time.
You know, at the end of the season, too, you might be able to experiment a little. Put the new screen in and get somebody out there. Open the drain a little bit. You got the stop logs. You might be able to just put a tech out there for an hour and see how many fish, if any, get through.
Right.
Okay. You know, once the water clears up, you could see that no problem.
Well, just under half. Okay, well, this is why I brought it here, was just to get some initial thoughts and see if folks were at least on board with some concepts that I don't feel like are fully fleshed out yet, but it sounds like there's support for this.
So how have the screens been clogged with lamprey? Do I want to know?
I don't know. We had about 700.
Yeah. On the screen?
On the screen.
On the screen.
The real key here is frying. Salmon frying, that's the key.
But you also get
lamprey.
Yeah, it is.
That is what they're designed for.
Yeah.
That's the key. And if we're okay with letting salmon fry through, then design it for a larger fry or larger salmon and lamprey, you're good.
That's a good point, because that's the big question that we're coming up.
Fry. So yeah. I was going to say, forget that fry or fine going back to the river. Then all you want to do is keep zeroage larger.
Fry are better off in the river.
I think they are. Too. Yeah. I think they're just going to get eaten.
Well, those big steelhead are going to go, ooh, four
turds. Yeah, we're doing it. Yeah.
Well, yeah. It seems like there is a benefit also to salmonids if we let the lamprey through, because there's predation going on from lamprey.
Well, not predation. They're just catching a rat.
Yeah.
Those are a lot of small mortalities after they get to the raceways we're counting.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But George is actually saying they've experienced heavy injury mortality.
Heavy injury from smolts.
From what?
From lamprey.
From lamprey.
That size, they're not.
They are predatory at that size.
Oh, just tell me what.
It's liposuction. Yeah, it's just liposuction. Come on.
I've got pictures of it.
They're there.
I'm just telling you what George told me last night on the way up.
And the pictures aren't of lamprey hanging on. It's the morphs afterwards. Yeah. They dig in.
Try to get some pictures.
I think we should.
Well, I'd like to see some pictures.
Okay. I'll send them. I think we'll get some pictures. I got to get some pictures.
O&M funding, or this is a new type of screen, so it's really
Griffin?
No.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah, we could get this CRFM funding right now.
I think we'll use, our lamprey program is funded through CRFM, and we'll kick this.
Yeah, no, we want to take it out of that.
Be careful.
Out of that 5 million. This is... passage.
This is more for a fry, though. Yeah. He said fry are the critical ones. So this is all, we're just doing this for the fry, for the love of the fry.
Limitation.
We have a little marriage here.
I know. Being done for
good, Tim.
Okay.
But actually,
you're going to get
it. Think about it. It's probably good for both.
Okay. Well, we'll keep you updated on that, but we're going to move forward in getting our lamprey team engaged on this issue, making sure we get the right size.
And in fact, today the Lamprey team is visiting Little Goose.
Might give him a phone call.
And I just had a call from Derek on it, yes.
Okay. Next, our task group updates. We're on, for those that have an agenda item 4.
Tim, I do have two additional really quick updates. One is the B2 printer collector hoist. That will go in if we get funding. If we don't get funding, we're looking at not this coming winter, but the next winter. And the John Day fish turbines, turbine number 3, should be put back together this time next year. 1 and 2 were not funded, but they are in the FY12 budget.
Yeah. So the corn collector hoist is dependent on CRFM funding being prioritized, which it was last year, right?
Isn't that prioritized?
Yes.
Yeah, but now we have plans and specs ready to move forward with it if the funding's available.
Didn't you guys get priority to make that funding available?
Yeah.
We didn't have those things
in place. We started it and then stopped it. We didn't have installation money. Now we got to hope we have funds.
So can you get it done this year?
George Medina, we will be to... Right now we're at 90% plan and spec, I think, right now. And by the end of first part of July, end of July, we're done 100% and ready to move forward with getting a contractor on board.
So is it on the SC teach?
Should be. I'll make sure George has it on there.
The screen.
Okay, are we done with that? Okay, next issue, we are now on task group updates, agenda item 4, 4.1 is Bonneville Slow Roll. Ben, do you have an update?
Yeah, I don't have much of an update, really, Tim. We had a call, kind of identified some roads to go down, and ultimately what we have to do is have somebody, whoever that person is, from HDC or from the project, potentially, pushed it their way. They kind of pushed it back, but we just need someone to sign off and say the activities we're doing these slow rolls is not, you know, negatively affecting our equipment. Still waiting for that. The other thing, once that's in hand, we'd like more of the fish side of things to have folks look at some of the data that maybe Scott Benton saw from Brilliant Dam in Canada, and us be able to get a pretty specific number that we want to have ultimately programmed into the slow roll start in our digital governors. And that would be the end of it. So really it's kind of a twofold thing. We want to be able to come out of it with yay or nay, you're hurting these, or you're hurting them when you do this, but not when you do that. And then from that, develop a time that we can say, this is our slow roll period, and this is what's going to go into our digital governors to automatically start our units that way every time. But that's not where we are. So set up another conference call to try and get some of that stuff hammered out, and it was set for the end of June. And I think I might have got trumped by SRWG or something like that.
I was going to bring that up.
Bonneville spill
meeting also set up at that time, so we're going to have to juggle that somehow.
It's fine with me. We can do it again.
Can we do it in the afternoon?
We can also just do it after the July FCOM meeting.
What's that?
I said we can also just do it after the July FCOM meeting.
Okay.
Or whenever we get HDC.
It's HDC is the critical.
Yeah.
I can go with that.
Hey, Bill, yeah. Do you guys have, do you have funding to get somebody from HDC to look at this?
You know, I thought there was funding for that, and that hasn't hardly gotten that far.
Okay.
Really, I don't know who to be speaking to. I was given a name by Jim Duffus, Dan Ramirez, and next thing I knew, I was talking to Charlie Allen. Spoke to one other character down there, and all seemingly nice guys, but none of them, you know, willing to... You know, to give some firm stance on, absolutely, you can go ahead and fire them up. You're not going to hurt a thing. And they actually were kind of trying to defer back to the project. They said, you guys are the ones out there, the operators and everybody, that are actually slow rolling those things by hand. What do you see? What do you feel?
Oh, jeez.
So, you know, there needs to be a little bit of that, and it's one of those things that drags along. So I'm hoping to get somebody who can be the POC from their group, to be involved in these discussions.
Dr. Rod Whittinger.
That might be pretty soon.
I can try.
Yeah, he might give you the straight scoop. But anyway, so what do we want to do with the meeting? Put it on F-bomb after the next F-bomb? Or that's probably true. So let's do that.
Let's just wait till next July.
What do you think, Ben?
I'm fine with that. I mean, July. We're not in the period now. We've got a little time.
Let's do.
I'll give you a little more time to get corner some information.
July 8th. Afternoon.
Right after F-POM.
Is that okay, Ben?
Afternoon of July 8th.
Yeah, the 8th of July is the next FPOM meeting, I think. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, that works for me.
Okay.
Okay. Good, Ben?
Yep, that works.
All right. 4.2, Shad Fishery.
All right. I met with the tribal reps 2 days ago on it, and they're planning on coming in. However, they don't have it together yet, so I kind of doubt that it's going to happen because they want to do it within this next week before their next gillnet fishery, I guess. So, anyways, we reviewed the plan where we left it off last time, the agreement that we hashed through pretty good last time. And the one thing that we changed in it is I convinced them that the old way of putting a containment net out in front of the east exit, not good, and it shouldn't even be on the table. We need to have, because what we had in the agreement was they would try this new method and try to get
the
dipping away from
it. If it didn't work, then they go
shape.
Back to the old.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
I don't either. And they agreed. that, okay, you know, we have enough evidence to show that it's not good.
You're just going to get a fallback. We know it.
So the plan now, and I haven't had a chance, he just sent it, and I haven't had a chance to review it. He was going to incorporate what we discussed and what was agreed upon into the new plan. Roger Dick from Yakima. So the plan is to go with the L shape. If it doesn't work or they can't make it work, they will modify the L. I'll try to do something with the L to make it work, but they will not go back to that.
One thing that I was a little concerned about, too, was how many iterations did we go with the modification? Oh, I guess we had that in there.
That wasn't it.
It was more just what was the modification going to be.
It
was wide open.
Yeah, because it was left up. It was left up in the air, and then they were planning on going back to the old. And if they go back to the old, then they get 2 days of fishing before they exceed criteria, and they're done.
Yeah, the consecutive days. But if it's not consecutive, then it's kind of this do loop. This kind of goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
So
they're in agreement with that.
Okay. It's just that I think if it doesn't work and they go back to change something, it'd be good to let folks know what the change is.
Yeah.
That's all.
And we'll keep you informed on that.
All right.
And that's it.
So you'll send something out when they're going to start, though, with the actual dates.
They were hoping to start today or tomorrow. I can't imagine they could start today because they haven't started building this new net. This new thing yet. I can't even imagine they're going to start tomorrow, to be honest. So, yeah, it's just a farm project. It could be late today or tomorrow.
The time of year is.
Okay.
So, Bob, you think that it's going to happen, or did you say it might not? You think they're going to have a hard time?
I kind of doubt it.
Between fisheries?
There's just not enough time. They got 1 week to do this, and they don't even have a net made yet.
Okay.
So.
Kind of the same old story, but at least they're okay if they want to.
Yeah.
That's good.
And the market never,
The market is still soft.
Yeah.
They thought for sure they had it this year.
Did they? And then it's kind of falling through. It's over.
Yeah.
It's still potential. We'll see.
That's okay if you can do it.
Okay.
You see the shadow manager at the bottom of
We're going to move on. I was going to talk about Little Goose Spillbay Weir. Bill's gone, so I'd prefer to have him here for the conversation. Mm-hmm. And so then we're on to agenda item 6, which is McNary Lamprey Orifice Operation. Unfortunately, Derek Fryer was going to be on the call today. We were told he was going to be on the call, and just 20 minutes ago found out that he's out of the office. So our conversation leader on this is out. I don't know, what's the general sense on, right, as you know, most of the orifices are closed right now.
Mm-hmm.
Our next FPALM is July 8th. We're likely to, we can schedule a conference call on this before July 8th, if we need to. But, you know, our lamprey numbers at John Day are, and at, let's see, McNary, they're really low. I have my John Day one in front of me. I don't know
where we can't count because the screen's so dirty, but...
Because the window's so dirty.
A total of 22 lamprey at John Day.
That's
massive numbers.
How much?
We've had two at McNary. And sockeye at McNary is, we've had 258. So just the last couple days we've started to get some sockeye at McNary.
That's what we wanted to see, was the sockeye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the most, we've had 69 sockeye the last couple days. So they're just starting.
Derek just called me and he said that he hasn't seen any interaction of sockeye and the orifices yet.
but they're really just starting.
But it's just starting right now. Keep that, yes, definitely keep that in mind.
Yeah, our first sockeye showed up at McNary on May 28th. So, I mean, we're single digits for those first 5 days. Now we're up to 69, so just
starting. We need to get some sockeye.
Should maybe have a check in, like an email next week and see what the numbers are. And
Okay, yeah, I suggest something like that.
Because they're going to come on fast.
Sockeye are pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
As long as, I mean, they're moving through the system really fast when they do come up.
Because it peaks, goose and granite, up around July 4th.
Yeah,
there, so
down the river is going to be more like June. And they're really fast when they go through the system. So
No, we don't go to Dally. Okay, so Greg, can you get out of, I'm going to be out next week, but
training?
No training.
Take time off.
You're not allowed. It's in the season.
So, but next week, Greg will set up a conference call for next week, and Derek, in coordinating with Derek. So,
I thought I heard the topic of this was debris.
Well, so there was two pieces. There was some debris that was.
Do you still have a stick stuck in there?
Yeah, yes. There's some debris that was stuck in there.
Kind of a duh.
And. Yeah, and Brad tried.
He tried to get it out. Went to Orvis Flow. Tried to get it out. It could not budge.
Couldn't get it.
It's still in place.
So
he didn't have Tim come down to pull on it.
Still, is it good? By his feet.
So it's essentially going to be in. That debris is going to be there
until
this year.
Until December.
Yeah. So, which is a good reason why we're not a big fan of those cables. Yeah. Long term, so we want to pull them out.
Well, where's the debris?
It's in one of the orifices. No, it's in the orifice.
In the orifice.
I mean, you got something that's you have
big
problems.
Mm-hmm.
We have problems with the whole big orifice.
Yeah. So this one, no exception.
Need a way to get something. Out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Small explosive device.
He's on the BP's robot.
CNC loaded lab.
BP.OV.
An underwater chainsaw.
So, anyway, I
diamond cutting.
Right now, I don't. It sounds like that debris is going to stay in.
It's just in that water
until we.
Yeah, it's just in the water.
But is it completely in the orifice, or is it just the sticks?
Percent blockage. I can get back to you on.
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, is it oriented downstream, or is it like across?
I can get back with you on that. It's in there, So it sounds to me. If it must be stuck in there, so it's got to be lodged in the hole itself.
Yeah, I'm just hoping it's lodged, not occluding the whole damn thing.
Right. That would be nice.
Are such that lamprey have to use each one all the way up, and we have one blocked. It's kind of a waste of time. It'd be better to go in and get it out of there.
Well, let's find out how it's oriented. It's oriented, so it's just not blocked.
Okay. It doesn't wiggle through without any problem.
Yeah,
now, Derek did send out that website to take a look at the orifices. And probably those are the two that he has pictured. If he's got the video on those things, so we ought to have.
Why don't we get? Let's get back to us on whether or not that thing is plugged 100% or if it's just.
How about we plan on that conference call?
That's a second subject.
We'll give you an update on the stick.
Update on stick.
Early blocking the thing and passage success relies on those being continuous all the way up the ladder. Then. Probably going to want to get in there and get it out. You want to
have
to coordinate. Throw a scuba dagger in there.
We could.
Get back.
We have these.
If he plugs the office up somewhere.
Yeah, what else could we use?
Chris, you showed us where the water delta is plugged in the middle.
As long as the bar oil in it.
Yeah,
the lamprey
line
goes through.
Both sides.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have a. Is there a date that we can. Any day next week that we should target?
Friday?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Friday's about the best one.
Okay.
That's nice work there. Yeah.
18th.
Okay.
18th, why don't you say 10 o'clock ish?
10 o'clock in the morning.
I'll shoot for that. I'll send out something.
Sound good?
Okay. Cool.
All right.
I think the World Cup game should be over by 10, so.
9:30.
10 a.m. Lamprey.
The next agenda topic is seven McNary TSWs, and so
you're gonna leave those off a little bit longer.
Another request.
So as you know, they were originally scheduled to be pulled out like June 5 and 6, which made sense based on 10-year averages of 95% of our steelhead were out, 5% of our subs were out. So kind of a sweet spot.
Your fault.
Your fault.
His
fault. Your fault better. Damn analysis.
Was that
his analysis would have had
no problem.
Would have said spring-like conditions in there.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the other complicating factors on this is the fact that the Corps is having a contractor do this work, which that's what made this difficult. Mm-hmm. If this was just project staff doing this,
I thought it was Brad.
Yeah.
So because of a contractor being involved, it made it really difficult to push them their work back. They were already starting the stage for that, and so
through.
And then we had, you know, to get it through we had to get contract modifications done.
That's the heavy part.
So the first one, you know, just so people know, it was about $20,000 that it cost to push that back a week. And
I just want to get a contract with the Corps.
Mm-hmm. You can make money.
You look at that, that's total, like, all, you know,
crane.
When you look at project time, contracting time. Then when we pushed it back, I talked to Gary, and I really didn't, I wasn't sure we were going to be able to push it back again, just because the pain that was involved in pushing it back the first time. But we were able to get it done.
Okay.
And so this one was, because we'd already kind of greased the wheels, so everyone knew how it worked, so it was less painful the second time.
A little less flogging this time?
Yeah.
Because it was probably not necessary.
But they will now, June 17 and 18, we'll be staging there. The contractor will be staging along with some assistance from the project. And then 19 and 20 are the days that we pulled out.
Good. So, now, what the issue is that we have language in the plan that probably didn't work for the conditions that we had. So we need to make sure that we go back and rewrite that section in the fish passage plan to accommodate things like this.
Okay, well, I guess the question is
no firm dates, planning dates with some.
Are you guys planning to put these back in next year, obviously? Or are you guys going to do some bogs to these?
Well, that's the other thing, too.
Yeah, are we?
A new TSWs in there that are push button operated.
Or
easier
to take out.
I think part of it was getting getting the project, being able to transport the chunks once you got them up on the deck.
What was the project?
So there was some complication with that. So, but I totally agree with you in terms of we need to build in as much flexibility as we can.
Right, that's what I'm thinking. It's just that instead of being hard dates or planning dates, at some point they need to become PSWs instead of TSWs.
Right.
Permanence.
Yes.
It's a new acronym.
Again.
Just put
that
out.
Seven RSW. We got a
PSW. Gary, do we really need to change anything, though? It worked fine this year. I mean, it costs some money to do it, but it will cost money no matter what. So continue to use the date we're shooting for.
No, I wouldn't. I'd keep it as a planning date rather than a hard date.
Yeah.
And then we'd have some discussions in season to make sure that that's right ahead of time. Instead
but
of
what about a hard week? I mean, they have to do something in contracting. That's why we picked it.
Well, let's not have a contractor do it. Let's have it somebody can do it with the project. Let's change this.
And that's
are we going to buy these things or not? I think we're going to buy them. So, you know, that's something. Maybe we go with the S2 design or whatever, but that needs to be talked about. Where are you guys at with the COP?
Who's doing the COP?
What COP? Walla Walla District.
Yeah.
The cops there. I think that schedule is supposed to be out here pretty quick for another review.
Well, I wasn't at Fitterwick, so I shouldn't throw rocks, but that's just.
Well, they talked.
We need to be down the road on that.
They talked about it.
Yeah. You have an update on that, Chris?
I remember when that McNary cop was supposed to be down.
they're supposed to have a meeting here.
They were growing great guns, and then
I had it.
Now it's wherever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we'd like we need to get that figured out. We need to know what we're going to be using in the future, and maybe get away from this contract.
Evaluation with Adam was working on.
Okay.
Good. Drafts out in August. Drafts out in August.
Okay. A draft out in August?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what I thought.
And we need to make some decisions on where we're going on the area surface. And in the meantime, I really don't want us to get in this situation.
No.
So we need to have some flexibility in that, some decisions as they go into the season rather than assumptions. And then contracts get let, we're going, and then everybody says, oh, it's
I would just tweak it like the mayor's just like say maybe plan for that first week of June, have a check in May 31st. Is this the week?
Well, I mean, we need to, yeah, okay. I'll shut up, but I can see it the first week of June. That's the fresh every year. Yeah, it is the fresh.
It wasn't going to be this year until.
Not this year, but then you're planning for a year. Should be planning.
But we did plan that way. We looked at a 10-year average. We looked at a longer horizon.
I know.
It just happened that this storm, if it was, the storm never happened, we were perfect. We picked it just right. But we need to put it on our schedule to review it a month in advance. Mm-hmm. You have to have some contract lead time. You're always going to need a big crane that you have to rent.
Okay.
Well, I think what we can do is we can. How long does it take to get that contract going? I mean, from the time that you need to know till mobed and working, can we make a decision in late May? Can we say there's a decision point has to be by May 25th?
I need to talk to our folks in contracting. I think there's a way to get it going. You know, initiate the contract
at least.
Initiate the contract as soon as we did. You know, this year. But
pull the trigger at a different.
You can put in option.
Yeah.
Say the original contract date will start here. Option one is to start at this date. Option two is this date.
And they'll bid on the options.
And they'll just bid on the options.
I just want to avoid the consternation options. Of $20,000. Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Right.
Well, you'll pay it anyway if you have to give options. But
right.
But at least let Tim go back and come back next meeting with an update on picking better dates that we have to make a decision by, and what's possible under contract.
It just needs to be a soft. Approach rather than a hard approach.
It's all about money. Soft approach is more expensive.
It's like, I think it is a large contract.
Well, then that argues for getting a system in there that's permanent. You don't have to do this way.
Because we're wasting money otherwise.
That feels going backwards from this surface route. Except on some.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll come back next month with a little more information on options, but I think what Dennis said is essentially what it's going to be. Well, we can build in some of that flexibility into the contract. It'll cost more, but that's how those contracts work. And so it's probably worth that flexibility that we gain.
Yeah, because otherwise we're going to have those requests and we're going to have the situation.
Or you guys might want to look at, is there a way... You guys go on. This is something you guys can do on projects. If it's mostly transportation, $10,000, you might be able to rent a trailer that can move these things.
In the last 5 years, we've seen two where we did not expect the flows to do what they did. Yeah. So it seems to be becoming more frequent, more radical things.
Yeah. Okay. We'll move on. Agenda topic 8: pit tag detection at the AFF. Tammy
and time to wake up.
She's been scrolling all over the place.
Oh, that's Brian. He hasn't provided anything.
So yeah, once he gets a drawing, once he gets a plan out of hand for reaching that.
Right. So how many months have I been listening to? As soon as he gets this and this.
Hey, you know, if he doesn't want to get a curtain, it's his issue.
So we should just go back to the original ticket configuration since they cannot provide the information that has been requested.
Send him that email, and I'll see how fast the analysis shows up.
I'm gonna write that in
as long as it says Mackie, not Lors, it's all I have.
Lors agrees.
Still asking for that.
Lors concurs. What? Yes, I won't be going back to the office today.
All we'll see is some red hair on a pike. That was
pike pole
in front of the office.
For the truck to drive back towards the bottom.
It's been almost a year.
There's Bill.
Good.
Where you been? They're talking about.
Yeah,
they were. Hey, good. I had to eat something. I mean, that looks good, but I had to eat some real food.
Hey, there's cornmeal in this.
I've been, yeah.
They're delicious, though.
I got special health issues.
Okay.
You got blueberries and apples.
Okay. You gotta eat. What happened? You
nothing.
Just we're a little goose.
No, yeah. No, we're waiting for you. I figured it was nothing. We've been sitting here waiting for you.
3 minutes.
So,
still way weird.
Yeah, I don't.
It's just the new.
Well, do we have to decide anything on this right now?
Yeah.
Probably.
You know. Rather than just continuing down a path, I thought it would make sense to at least have a discussion with folks.
We offered it last year, last July and August, right? We had it in the upper position, no problems.
Yeah. We've also just seen this year consistently problems below... Even below 70K.
It looks like you've got a band somewhere between about 50-something and 70-something that you have just enough energy coming out of that spillway that it causes problems. Because below 50, we haven't seen it. Maybe we'll see it this year. I don't know. I hope to God we don't.
That's the thing. Remember, at 70K, that close to that, we're having gases at the same time.
That's
what we want to make sure that we... There's only a few of these out. I got printed. If you want to look at these, please share them.
This year we
have. There's more.
So even.
I mean, we talked about this at Fitterway. We're supposed to get together a Fitterway and SWMG. We're supposed to. Someone from Wall to Wall is supposed to pull together a meeting saying, "What are we going to do long term here?" And that kind of stuff. I mean, obviously, we cannot keep doing what we're doing, and we want to get a little more information. Is there some turbine operations that you put on top of this? Let's take a look at those. Let's take a look at is there doing some flexibility operation wise? Like, if this band, do we maybe tweak daytime and tweak nighttime and that kind of stuff? I mean, maybe that's what it's going to come down to.
So right now, looking at the Chinook numbers from Lomo to Little Goose, you know, the tide pool event you would think would be, based on our work on the model, should be solving problems. But we also have other confounding variables like really muddy water. So, I mean, the counters at the windows, they're counting what they're seeing. And they can't see a heck of a lot. So...
And also when you have high turbidity events, sometimes adults just stop moving. It's not fun.
Right. So, but even like the month of June, it's not dramatic, but it seems like we are delaying adults still, even though it seems a little less dramatic than it was before. But for instance, at Lomo, for the month of June, the first 3 days at Lomo, we're getting 1,200 and 1,300 consistently. And those same days at Goose, we're at 800, 1,000. So there's just a couple hundred. And it seems like that's what's been happening all year. One option is we can just shut the weir off again like we have in the past, take it out of service for a couple days and try to clear that out once the flows maybe cut back a little bit. But I just wanted to get some folks' thoughts on this before we leave today.
I mean, what I was thinking was I was going to wait to see once the flow is going to drop back down where we actually have some control over the system and take a look at adult numbers and see if we still are seeing some issues.
It's starting to inflect right now, flatline there at Goose, you know, really right now. But
it comes down to the problem is Goose only has one really good functional entrance.
Right.
Indeed.
So I'm not
And we really don't have a lot of flexibility to do much. So, I don't know, I'd say this is something we should maybe tack on to that call next week and say, hey, do we want to maybe Monday?
Oh, yeah, it's muted.
You want to put
No, it's not actually.
You're not.
Ham and cheese.
Ben, put your phone on mute.
I think you just did.
You can have your office party now. I would say maybe next Friday we take a look at it because have a call and maybe say that if we think we want to test it, that following Monday, close the weir for a day or two and see if we get a high response like we have in the past.
Okay.
Yeah. But I mean,
what else do you have you want to test?
We're not going to be able to test anything this year the way with the FOP and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, eventually we are going to need to talk about, like, future operations. Maybe we look at – if we can't figure out something to do daytime at 30%, maybe we need at a certain flow band you don't spill 30%, you spill something less, and you do an offset at night or something like that, which is something we had proposed long ago because I've never understood why we don't do something different at night. And the data seems to indicate we need to do something different at night because that seems to be when fish stop moving at goose for some ungodly reason. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at the SPE last year, and it was like half the fish just stopped going through the spillway, which makes no sense. I don't understand that. So, do some tweaking. That's what we always end up doing.
Okay.
But next week, if we do see another blockage, then what do we do? Continue having
it? Not a blockage.
A delay issue.
Never has been a blockage. I see fish passing every day on this.
Bill, they are delayed,
not
Bill.
A blockage.
They are either delayed or they
blockage
are blocked.
Blockage and delay are different.
So when we passed 19 on the, 2 days ago?
Yeah, 19.
On the 7th?
Yeah.
Where's 19?
We passed 48 on the 8th of June. 34 on the 7th of June.
June 7, we passed 34 total Chinook. 19 of those were adults. 14 were jacks.
Is that a delay or blockage, Bill?
At 192 in the Snake River?
No, that's at
on these flows right now.
That is the flows that we see right now at Little Goose.
Well, the thing is, there's nothing we could do anyway.
You're
out of flat powder anyways. There's not
taking out of service. 44%.
But something you could do is go pull the weir out.
What's the spill percentage?
But I'm thinking
44. Look at that in the yellow.
This flow can't see a high trust weir. High trust weir is going to be better than a full gate opening at 10K.
The other ones aren't blocked. The other ones are just the same numbers. There's still something going on now.
When you're up in the 200.
You only have one entrance.
Yeah. Don't blame it on spill.
Hey.
I'm only...
No, I'm just... All I'm trying to do is have a conversation about what... where we're going here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where we're going is we're gonna be talking about this. We'll work on it. We're not gonna make judgments over while the river's up in the 200 range.
What would you say? Yeah. Crazy choices. Mm-hmm. Okay, 9 to 10. Did you look this morning?
All I have is the base.
Yeah, because he left yesterday morning.
I can see by your concern there are other people around you in Walla Walla that are making judgments. And maybe in division, too. And I'm glad they're concerned.
Yeah, I mean,
but I'm not going to jump at trying to change operation right now when it flows. There's 200 in the river and making judgments on the number of adult passing under these conditions. Mm.
Okay.
I guess
okay.
I'm.
Mm-hmm. I look back over. Look over the record here.
Yeah.
I mean, because you think about it, if anything, the high crest is actually passing less water than a normal spill gate would be.
Yeah.
If you'd have the high crest in, you'd be putting more through that engine.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be probably dumping 8 or 10 instead of, what, 5.5 or whatever it is.
7.2. Something like that, yeah.
So it's like you'd actually be putting more through it. So I don't know what's good. I mean,
no, I don't think there's a whole lot with flows this high. There's not a whole lot we can be doing right now. I would guess pulling the weir out on a day like we had today or yesterday, it doesn't mean a whole lot.
At this kind of spill, you're over 30%. The uniform becomes the bulk spill pattern. They merge.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't any difference. Like Tom just said, probably the gate number one is passing less than some of the other gates right now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I just think we'll talk about it next week on the conference call on Friday, and have another week's worth of information in front of us.
All right. When's the conference call?
10 o'clock Friday, the 18th.
And that's just on Goose?
And
also on that call will be the McNary Land Parade for this operation. And so, you know, a couple of things. Sound like you've already had some of those long-term discussions where we're going at Goose.
Not where we're going, just that we're going to have a meeting to talk about some of these things. What do you want to do?
Right.
Build a wall. You're doing a good show.
And it's concrete Fredericks.
But having, you know, being able to close the weir without a crane crew would probably be a helpful tool to have, so that we're not needing a crew to go out there all the time. And then we can, do you agree, Bill?
Well, we talked about that at Fitterwick. We discussed that pretty cool.
They talked about doing something?
Yeah, we did.
Did you like that idea?
Let's get the notes of that meeting and see what was said.
Yeah, I think most people were supportive of making whatever you can do a much more rapid response than what you've got right now.
Yeah. So. We're going to have to go. Also there's we're talking about going back to Kurdic and maybe November, December.
String flows out.
And looking at options. That's where we're going to be able to identify the most important and the quickest things, because all that's happening here, you could have predicted from that model. Everything, there isn't anything new that we're seeing here. We've always known the spill pattern has been a compromise. There's been a compromise between doing the best for adults and trying to do the best for juniors. And now we've got more information now about adult response to different conditions than we've had before. We've never had adults, spring adults, passing at such low flows, and then all of a sudden going to very high flows, too. So we're getting a response here. This is all valid information to work on with the model.
Did you get the memo that the third trip got moved up to the first week of August?
Nothing like that. You love Ernie so much. You can help the Pelicans.
I will.
Okay,
Ariel.
Thank you.
We're gonna
move
forward and discuss that more on Friday's conference call.
Okay.
Number 10, Sea Lion. Anti-hollow blocks, Tammy.
Are any of them going to get? Are they going to be there when the water drops?
That'll be interesting to see if still
where they are.
But they did get left in.
In the sturgeon hole.
And of course, those guys wanted me to ask you if it doesn't look like tailwater's going to go up. Can they leave them in there? And what if the tailwater kind of comes up and fluctuates? You know, their work plan said that they would take them out when tailwater came up. Obviously, it rolls pretty fast, so I can't really blame them this time. But they're wondering if they could leave them in there.
If they survive this flow, I'm going to feel pretty good.
It's predator habitat. Yeah. And what tailwater do those things?
I knew you were going to ask that, and I just
27
look at
feet
it.
Right now.
Bottom yeah. I mean, and it's submerged all the way up to, you know, the very highest part of that apron. So yeah.
We got to get down to what tailwater
is. It was about 20 or so, and I did mention like mid-May or two of them that the lower ones were all getting close. And it dropped after that, so it dropped off my radar too. I stopped thinking about it. So it's probably in the 20, 25 foot range that'll do it.
What kind of work's involved with taking him out and putting him back up?
We need that guy from McNary that scrubbed the window, the strong guy. It takes six guys. I can't remember how many blocks they put down there. I mean, it's a lot of work and effort.
Gary, you're concerned about it being habitat?
Yeah. How many sea lions do we
None used that haul-out location. I mean, a couple of them were on the rocks below, but mostly they were all rafting this year.
They're gone anyway by now. Sea lions?
There's one there this morning, but they're mostly gone. Then.
So, yeah, they need to be hauled out.
Okay.
But Gary, why? What do you...
It is predator habitat.
But isn't that whole bank riprap, the whole half mile?
Yeah. We're not going to help it. I don't want to have more.
Right, but this is a lot of work to get them in and out.
Okay.
And then where do you store them?
Plan was to get them out.
We're not going to be at this tailwater for very long. It's going to go right back down.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how long we're going to be. I don't know how long. What's the question? What's the answer to that?
Well, 3 weeks.
We have a sill along the edge, right? Okay. Concrete sills like at 23, 24.
2 weeks at the moment.
It'll come down fast.
There's nothing they can do now when it comes down. The point is, should they remove them and then reinstall them in
the problem
January?
Is we don't ever see them submerged until the sea lions are almost gone.
Right.
Every year.
Well, it's
a bad time for them to be in there. If tailwater is going to be at this level where they're largely submerged for a long period of time,
it won't be.
That's the question. In the fall, it's typically tailwater
11.5.
Oh, it won't be anywhere near as
low. So
it won't be there.
Yeah. So once it goes down here, I guess they're asking, can they kind of leave them in if it doesn't look like their tailwater is going to go up?
Well, if they can't can they get them out with them partially submerged?
No.
So there's nothing that then...
Right now, there's nothing.
It doesn't matter. It's not going to go up in that.
Are you asking for future years that next year...
Yeah, future plans and I don't know.
I don't want them in there when we have water over that area. They need to be out.
Right.
So they missed it this time because of the way it came up, which I understand that.
Right.
They're not going to be able to get in there to get them out until the water drops below, and it's not going to go back up.
Okay. So probably okay for this...
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't want to make a change there.
Just tell them to start working out for next year.
Got it.
All right,
they should.
It
could be raining 3 hours.
Okay, we're good? Okay, agenda item 11, the Dalles avian arrays for 11. Is this Bob?
Yeah. I briefed you guys last F-bomb on the situation we have with the avian lines, and then in this agenda we have a bunch of alternatives that we're looking at already for next year. We're trying to figure out, you guys recognize these pictures? We're trying to figure out exactly where the best place to put lines is. So in a nutshell, we have all the alternatives in here. If you have a preference or any comments on any of them, just let me know.
Your preferred alternative looked pretty good to me.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was the last one. I think I left that on my printer upstairs, so I don't have it with me.
Okay.
So I think it was the last one you had in the
sequence. Yeah, yeah. The very last one was pretty complicated.
Oh, well, then it wasn't that one. It was the one.
But yeah, the second to the last one was the best alternative.
Yeah, that one looked the best. That looked good. You're not relying on the bridge.
Yeah.
I think that's staying away from that. Just putting the pole out there on the peninsula makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Is it going to make noise? You have the noise of the pole syndrome?
Yeah, I don't know.
Probably after it's in. Probably after John Davis.
Are you going to have problems?
singing wires?
Yeah, maybe.
Is that a problem?
Possibly.
Are you going to have problems?
It's a pole, I guess.
Some harmonics.
You can have the hotel guests complaining across the river there.
Do you have costs associated with alternatives?
No, not yet.
Okay.
And is
the pole in for next year, is that looking feasible, or is that going to be like, oh, no way back?
That I don't know yet either. That's just, we just got it on paper so far.
What's the ownership of that?
We're planning on doing it in-house.
I mean, the peninsula there, the rock you intend to...
Can you put it
on that core?
By the land?
I don't know. I guess we'll put it on
highway.
Find out. Just make sure it's not like a historical landmark or something like that.
The island right next to it is where we have it now, and that's where we've had that pole for a long time.
So if it just magically moves over,
nobody will even notice.
Yes. Nobody will notice. Yeah.
Just shift it over.
It's not working. It'll be done in the dark.
It's just about 10 o'clock at night.
The rock will suddenly sprout a pole.
Look!
I don't think it'll interfere with the pike minnow fishermen. I mean, they haven't even showed up out there this year.
There's been some hanging on the, or standing on the bridge, fishing on the bridge.
Yeah.
That's got to be fun. But not on that. I don't think they can get out there right now.
No, not right now. But wall? I think the wall messed up their
thing. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, so I think we might have to take the wall out.
Interfere with your pike minnow fishery. Yeah.
There's a little platform out there with fish off the wall. It's nice and dry out there, right?
So,
it's good at designing.
Oh, and then,
is that, do you, are you looking for, that's a pretty big decision, so you want to go through, is this going to Fitterwig at all, or is this going to be done through F-Palm?
It's just planned through F-Palm.
Through F-Palm?
It needs to go through Fitterwig, we can do that.
Where's the funding?
But I don't think, well, it's going to be O&M, it's going to be us.
Not Sierra Fund.
That's our plan, no.
Why not?
This is just what we've done in the past, and we're still holding ownership of it.
You need to explore whether or not it's a benefit, you know, with the spill wall, and it's a, you know, there's another component to get to meet the buy-up requirements.
Mm-hmm.
I think it should be run through CRFM.
We did John Day through CRFM.
Yeah. I mean, if it's, you know, if the predation issue relates to meeting buy-up requirements, it needs to be run through CRFM.
It does.
Which is, okay.
Yeah. So you should, let's talk to Mike and let's maybe get it elevated that way.
Just stick around.
Fitterwig today.
1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we've got Fitterwig today, so we should talk about it there.
So you're stuck here.
I'm just saying that's an avenue. Right now, it shouldn't be on in yet if it's part of, you know, to meet your buy-up requirements.
I'm thinking there's two things here. There's one is that whether you do it or not.
Right, you need a decision.
The other is
what
you
do. Do for you.
Okay. What you do can try to be decided here. You know, so you got five options.
Yeah.
I think that would be here, and then Fitterwig or SCT can struggle with cost. So if you want to get a vote on this and get everybody's agreement, I think you want to do that here now, as best as you can.
So is committee, does everybody agree that the alternatives that we had there and the one that we had labeled as best is what's best? Or?
Of the ones that you have, I didn't see any big holes that made me think you should do something different.
Did everybody else get a chance to look at it? Or?
Did the USGS help you develop those? Not USGS, but animal damage guys.
USDA puts the stuff in, but we already ran it by them, and they're not going to do the pole. We have to do the pole ourselves,
right.
And that's what we've done before. And then they'll just attach our lines with it. So yeah, that looks good.
So they don't have any big issues with it.
Did they?
Yeah.
No.
It's okay.
No.
And the pole,
they,
you guys, you get away from the Falcon issues and all the other stuff too.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you need a Chinook helicopter, let us know ahead of time. Put the pole in.
Yeah, I need that.
So
I haven't even had a chance to talk to our engineers yet about designing a pole.
So Tom, you're okay with it?
Yeah.
Gary?
Yeah.
The best option
on agency
reps.
What do you think of Bubba? You haven't looked at that yet?
No.
Okay. We'll let you off the hook.
Just
Nice. Yep, it looks like a wire grid.
BPA
over the dam. Yep.
I think so. We haven't looked at it.
Singing wires.
We don't know.
Yeah, sure.
Sounds good.
We don't know, but yeah, sure.
But yeah, it sounds good.
We got three guys here.
Come on. One of you three could have looked at it this morning. Could you look it up on your iPod or something like that? Your iPhone?
Look on.
Yeah.
Cody's hand up there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know, but you'd have to
probably
use
it online.
You should use some of their voices, Okay.
Would it influence the amount of hazing that's done there?
It may. Hopefully it does. We're getting a lot of complaints from people in the neighborhood. Maybe. Scared dogs.
I would think, since usually the way you decide if it's O&M funded or CRFM funded is if it's replacing existing, would be O&M, but if it's to provide additional coverage or because of a new thing that went in, like a wall that you're trying to now provide a coverage in a different way.
Wow, you're so subtle, you know.
You're subtle, slide. That would be critical.
This new existence.
Wow, do you have any other tool other than the slide in your box? I don't know.
It's a
Somewhere.
Is that the building of this
sledgehammer?
Put them on something small, like a wall.
We've always upgraded. I mean, whenever we see gaps or whatever, in the next year we'll expand it or do whatever we want to do.
I think this follows the John Day pattern.
I think so.
You're really doing the same thing. You're upscaling to, like, because we've moved the birds down there from John Day to some degree.
It's not nearly as complicated.
McNary's next.
Yeah, and I've already informed our Criffin manager that we'll be tapping him.
Moving the birds around.
We're chasing.
Okay.
We'll get him sooner or later.
Go forth the smart wire.
We're going to have something.
How about foundation?
We'll put a pole in.
Okay, so we had everyone agreed that that was a good plan based on what people had seen, and we're moving forward. Agenda item 12, the Dalles AWS outage for BPA and project maintenance.
I know a little bit more about that one. I know it's actually not our outage. It's a Klickitat PUD's outage. And then the Wasco County PUD put an outage on there as well. And so we're also doing a pole replacement while those two outages are going on. So there's three different things going for that that outage. And the main thing is they're going to turn the unit off and switch to bypass is what our concern is. Yeah.
So they'll switch to, when they do the outage, they'll need to switch to bypass, so they're going to need a little time to do that. An hour total or an hour each?
You're saying an hour each time.
About an hour each time for the switch over to bypass and the switch over back. That makes sense.
I can't hear a damn thing down there right now. What'd you say?
I'm our age.
I was writing.
Sorry. What were the dates?
Saturday and Sunday this week.
12th, 13th.
Our outage.
Starts in the morning on the 12th. We're at the exact time until the afternoon.
What are you taking out?
Like total power?
Well, they're going to take out, they're going to do some work on the Klickitat substation. They're also doing some work on the powerhouse at the Wasco PUD, their turbine.
Okay.
And then we're going to do pole replacement while this is happening as well.
So
what's going to happen at the fish ladder is you're going to go to the bypass system that used to always be what it was before they put it in the turbine.
Right.
It takes about an hour.
They're going to run the old overflow area there and hope it holds together?
Yeah. So it takes about an hour to do that, to switch over, and it takes an hour to switch back.
And what time?
And it's going to be in the morning on Saturday, I think at 7. They're going to start switching over, and then return it at 1800 on Sunday.
And during that switchover, that's not the best time of day to be switching over.
Wasco picked it, so I'm not
affecting the. They need to coordinate too. So
what time was it?
Seven.
What time?
I thought it was 7 in the morning switchover, and then 1800 to come back.
There'll be an effect on the ladder for a bit of time there.
Yeah.
I mean, just the timing is the issue, not more so than
you want to be nice.
Not do it first thing in the morning.
Or do it before.
Right, 400.
Yeah.
400 or midday.
Or early. I mean, we have our tables that we put in the plan.
Yeah.
What do they say, Ed?
Well, midday doesn't look much different.
Would it be better to do it at the end of a day, Gary? If they did it Friday night?
Yeah, I think so. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Late Friday afternoon or late Friday evening, do it
just
then?
Just do it Friday night before the guys walk out the door.
Right, and then put it back in Sunday night?
God, does it fall apart?
Yeah. What do you think, Bob?
I'll get a hold of Wasco on that.
Will it hold up? Will our shark treats stay?
They usually run it about once a year.
They
get forced outages or whatever.
Yeah. That's about what it's... That's what it'll hold up for is about once a year.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's what it's for.
Right there.
I have. I just got through
300. That power through
even with the flows. The flows just seem to be about 21 to 30 years.
How much trash will be left? Is that like half? Half the ladder flow? Or is that all?
No, that's the whole thing.
Whole thing, so yeah, whole thing should
switch over.
Now, that's, if folks are interested,
there'll be some four bays. Still be some water.
Well, you'll still have ladder flow.
Ladder flow.
On CFS.
We are seeing good passage over there. That's, I've spent some time this morning updating my spreadsheet from while I was gone. And it does drop. Passage is dropping on the north side with the amount of spill. But key point is that right now the average for the whole season has been about 40% passage of that ladder. And in the last week, once we've had spills over 100 KCFS, it's been between 21% and 38%. So even with 100 KCFS. And there's a downward trend, but we see that every dam. If you look at McNary or John Day, you see the same trend, so that's not surprising. But the fact that we're in previous years, when we see all these kind of spills, we were in the 5% range of passage on that side. Now we're in the
20. Did you look at total all fish? Did you look at all fish or just some?
I'm looking at adult Chinook only, and I'm correlating that to spill, daytime spill only. So I'm looking at only the daylight hours of spill. And it's looking really good. I don't see a problem.
That wall fixed our problem.
That wall fixed our problem.
Oh, wow.
I didn't think it would.
I thought it might cause more, but it's
been a good year.
And it makes me feel a little better about not having, you know, emergency AWS on the east side, too, because we do have an alternative.
So this means we need a wall of little goose.
Yeah, basically. And that's the wall fixes everything, and you're going to learn eventually that wall's going to have to go in.
Oh, my God.
Concrete RS.
We don't have any.
I'm not going to let up on you. Every chance I get.
We don't have any.
No, we've solved that problem.
It's like wall to his computer.
Wall deletes the computer.
I think that's
it. Build more
wall.
Okay, are we good? Gary, are we good on the last issues?
Okay. Yeah, just avoid the morning, that's all. Early morning.
So, now moving on to coordination notification forms.
Tammy, you know, we have a Bitterwick meeting at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
And we want food.
And we'll try to wrap this up in the next 15 minutes. Okay. So then you have
meetings. What are you saying?
Is this necessary?
Either go the night before or the first thing in the morning.
We're at 13. And so, Tammy, do you want to go through coordination forms?
Pretty quick. So the John Day North extended outage comments were due by the 21st of May, and I don't believe there were a whole lot of comments. So I need to finalize, Sean and I need to finalize that coordination form. The John Day North count window and handrail work, that was sent out on the 26th. I believe that was a notification.
It was.
Was going to happen. A lot of these are just notifications. The Dell's avian hazing, wanted to make sure there weren't any concerns with that, because a lot of these, like I said, were notification, but
you're scaring my dog.
Make sure that you're all okay with it. The Bonneville Unit 12 oil leak repairs went forward. The Unit 7 commissioning test.
Done, baby.
But I thought husband did have a concern about moving Unit 7 up in the priority so that we can get the 100-day runtime on it a lot sooner than, say, within a year. He had suggested maybe it could be third in priority for Powerhouse 1. Not making it third for the project, but third for Powerhouse 1.
Unit what?
Unit 7.
To bring it back up, get its 100-day testing.
We've done the 72-hour heat run on it. Then it goes into 100-day commissioning. You know, we want to run it.
What are the first two?
First two would be 1 and 3.
1 and 3, and
they have the open chain gate, so 7 then would be.
What's the 17 and 17 issue?
It's 7.
That's a typo. And the problem is that's outside, that's just past the wall.
It's just on the other side.
So would you move the chain gate opening to overlap?
We could if necessary. If it were going to be open, unfortunately, since all those chain gates aren't automated, it's going to be set, and that's where it'll be.
put over.
You will have the top two priority units with chain gates open. It's just that you will then run that unit, and it will not have an open chain gate, or it will have an open chain gate that might not be in the most ideal position.
Yeah, it's probably not going to run. You're not going to get your hours. It's running now.
It's running now.
It'll run at some point.
A couple of weeks.
And just looking at how things are going to work, it's probably going to drop in like a rock.
The idea is just to, right now it's second to last, and it will never run.
Oh, so
but
you're thinking.
But it's to move it up so that at least there's the potential that it might possibly run.
So you're thinking like during the fall or something like that?
Yes, so we will get several days worth during this fresh egg.
About 3 months. I mean, we'll start burning.
How many days?
100 days.
100 days. Yeah, right.
I think we probably have about.
How many years is that going to take?
Huh?
That's the problem.
Over the next 10 years.
And their warranty probably runs out by then.
Yeah.
3 marches worth. The Celts.
We'll
get another month on it. You know, then if you guys decide to stay the same priority, then it'll drop off.
Well, the key here is this is right. I mean, it's we got to have an open chain gate there.
Okay, well, we can open the chain gate. It's just, it won't be adjustable like the other ones, which is fine if you're okay with
that. Sure, it's adjustable. You just got to be out there adjusting it.
It will not be as readily adjustable.
Right now we have, what, 10C, 6C?
We have 1, 3, 6, and 10.
Yeah.
Chain gates at those.
So, but if we open one over 7, then we're going to have to shut something else down.
6.
6. Yeah. But 6 is on the other side of the wall.
Right. It's
on the
other side of the wall. So otherwise, all you have is 10. Right? Yeah.
You need that one open.
So, I mean, we can juggle that stuff just until we get some runtime on 7.
Which is fine if you guys are fine with it.
Yeah. That's okay. As long as we have a chain gate open there. Because otherwise, it's kind of a cul-de-sac unless fish get over to the, you know, 10.
Okay.
So, change the unit hours.
So we will change powerhouse 2 or powerhouse 1 unit priority to number 7 will be third in priority, and we will open. You want 7A, right next to the wall.
Right next
That's
to
what
the
we
walls.
Used to.
Yeah, yeah. The closer you can get to that.
7A open and 6D or C, whichever one it is closed.
Yeah. And when you get your 100 days, let us know. Then we can maybe think about going back to it.
As soon as you get the 100, then go back.
Yeah.
But that's.
Going to be years.
We'll talk to you next spring.
Okay.
Might get a footnote in the thing to say that's why we're going. So we remember. Okay. We're on.
Do you think I'll take that one? No. Okay. I was just going to do it as a coordination point and not necessarily change the passage. That's fine.
I might take that one.
Okay, so that's all I got on that.
So
the next one is the McNary.
Okay, McNary TSW closure removal.
With interim pattern.
Yeah, it's just the interim pattern, so you know what we're gonna what we're gonna operate when we're pulling the weirs out. So,
gotta be quick.
Okay, we're now on to 2011 FPP change forms 14.1.
Oh, we have one more potential coordination form that Natalie wanted to mention.
Yeah, so we're going to try to do the going at the Washington Church lamprey flume, the entrance stuff, and I'll brief you guys at the Fitterwood today about it. But we'd like to, and Sean's out sick. He's been out sick for a couple, like this week, and then he was at training last week, so we had a chance to talk to him. But we're going to ask for basically to extend back from December 1st to November, early mid-November, November 17th. And we had mentioned that at one of the Fitterwigs, and we were okay with it, but we've not made an official request yet.
Natalie, this is what's the issue? I'm sorry.
By the Washington Forest, the installation of the lamprey entrance and flume. Trying to give ourselves some more time on the front end.
So you can move that pump over to the face of the powerhouse?
I'll let you guys like that.
Otherwise, no.
I was going to sit over here.
it's going to come as an official request. No?
All right.
An official no.
If I need
an official yes.
Thank you.
So you'll
dispute resolution then.
Yeah, what is that, by the way?
I don't know.
Team Richie?
We're going to find out.
Team Richie?
Team Richie. I guess I'll let you know where
that is. So you'll be further discussing that this afternoon?
I'll update the Federer group, and then the official request will come for the next GovCon meeting. This, Sean wasn't here to break that.
Okay.
He asked me to be here, so I'm here.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Yes, we'll just have to come up to an agreed upon design.
Okay.
I'll just hit Gary a few times.
Moving on then to 14.1.
All right, and my search couldn't be here today. Okay. Let's
see.
This one is during Shad Passage season, they want, there's three openings into the AFF exit or ladders. You have two in the lower section and one in the upper section. So the uppermost one in the lower section they want to leave closed so Shad are not sucked in there. And then
what are the implications by doing that?
Basically, that one, we would open it when the lab was taken down. You would open it, and it would provide flow in there, so any fish that did go in Fair. There would just follow the loop around and go back out to the Washington shore. This way, they can still get out to the Washington shore. They just have to go
longer route.
The whole route.
And you're thinking just during, at what point of, what number of shad are you going to say we'll open it again?
Probably just
5,000 a day or whatever the hell that criteria
shad
is.
Shad passage, yeah, whatever the shad passage criteria is.
I will tentatively give you the okie dokie.
Here. Gary's saying tentative okie dokie.
Okie dokie,
well.
Tentatively.
It's not the official.
What's the reason for this?
Keep shacking it in the room.
Oh boy. It's to help keep shad moving so that, and this is also for lamprey trapping for research, but it's to keep shad moving so they won't get onto the Weir 37. They'll just
right.
be moving up, they won't get sucked through there. And
I'm not sure.
Husband,
how that,
can you explain it better?
That doesn't make sense to me. Sorry.
Well, it might be having them exit a little bit farther up the ladder.
Above
Weir 37.
So they don't fall back.
So they'd be exiting up at Weir 50 rather than at Weir 38.
Yeah.
And then
okay. Back. It's been talking. I mean, John talking with us.
But the concern is below the pick of lead.
Well, what they would do, because we're 38, the picket leads
between
37
the two,
and 38, so they exit right
at
there
37,
and go back
at
down.
38, there's no exit at 37.
There's the entrance, so you have 37, you have the entrance, you have
to
the
go
picket
into
leads,
the facility.
You have the exit, you have we're 38. So the two, you'd have that, both of those right there at the picket leads.
I thought there's only one hole there.
There's two. You just never notice the other one.
Yeah, cover it. It's around the counting station. You know, there's the counting station. You'll come around the back side of that one.
Yeah.
As you walk down to the count station, you cross over the channel.
Right.
It's normally closed when the lab is in operation because they don't want the fish
right.
going up there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because John had talked to me about it. He says they've been seeing less shad on that. He thinks that's part of the reason by doing this. It's an help. So
that'll help keep shad off the drain.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is this approval? Do you want to revisit this? Okay.
I'd
like to.
It'd
be nice if we had some diagrams for things like this rather than just throwing
I thought out. You knew Bonneville, like the back of your hand.
It's not clear.
His hand's getting really old and wrinkly.
Yeah.
Wow, out of nowhere.
It's okay. It's going to happen to you, too.
I know.
That was lovely.
Oil of Olay.
Oil of Olay. BPA is okay with this? And?
BPA care.
Not so much, but we're okay with it.
We care about some things. Okay. I'm going to just move to a couple that are quick housekeeping because we're losing people. But 14.5 Ice Harbor is simply building the table out further just so that we can accommodate the two flows over 200.
Mm-hmm.
So I think everyone's okay with expanding the table to include those flows. And then 14.4, I'm moving backwards. 14.4 is for Tammy's benefit. Is a repeat from 13.6, so we don't need to talk about that. It's again those spill tables for removal of TSWs. And 14.3 is just the...
It's Appendix A.
In Appendix A, it says we're going to do this transient model validation at McNary, which essentially results in each unit being run for approximately an hour and a half outside of 1%. Okay. And
is
so,
load shaping guidelines?
No, this is transit model. This is entirely different. This is a NERC WEC requirement on all these units, certification wise. They want it done this year. Originally, they wanted to do it some other period of time. Like
is this
not
form out there? This, change
this form is
out?
Right here.
Yeah.
We decided today.
Page 9.
Yeah, what NERC requirements?
For what units?
It's called a transit model validation, exciter step response.
So you were supposed to do it in October,
yeah.
April, and you want to move to July 26th?
Right. I looked at some beautiful 10-year graphs.
They're going to be run outside of 1% for an hour, hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And outside of that, you outside of 1% both that and
And
then right.
Yeah. October's not a good month to do this in.
I'm just wondering, is it worth pushing back?
Yeah, there's some grass right there.
If you want some.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. I'm trying to think what's going to be the bigger impact. I don't think it's going to be
the
juvenile. It's juvenile. Adults shouldn't be a problem. Yeah.
No, it's just it's going to be somebody like should have
I think
migrating in July.
Are we done?
Now, how will this affect one operation?
It's just like I said, it's nighttime, one night on a quick test. Every one of the units, except for what is it? Units.
Yeah, that's all.
Do we think this is going to be pushed back
anymore? Once you make this decision, I do need a decision on 15.2 or 14.2.
Not very much flexibility. They can go from. They want to get it done sooner than October.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, could you do like mid-August to mid-September or something like that?
They can do late August. They can do August to about August 31st.
Why can't they go after August 31st if it's still before October?
I gave them a scope of window at the time the other day when I was talking to them. And September didn't look good on the adult charts. That's why to me.
Well, let's bring it. Let's bring this back next month.
I don't think it's an adult issue. I think it's more of a juvenile issue is what it really is.
Interesting.
Right?
Interesting to see.
So obviously, the more you push it out,
they've been studying it so much for years. So it's just making permanent research.
They got to write a contract.
This is
Appendix A, and that's the only thing about.
And you said you were going to do it during that time. You're changing the time to something else. And the original timing was based on outside the fish pass season, for the most part.
Right.
And the change is based on
the NERC WEC requirement before the 1st of November.
Who's the what requirement?
Requirement before NERC WEC requirement.
What does that mean, though?
National Commissioning Energy.
Why was it scheduled originally for October 1?
It was a mistake.
Oh.
That's what I'm getting at. I made a mistake.
Okay. We should make him pay for this. I know. What are we getting at?
And so, We're giving you a TSW removal.
Because I owe Wagner a six-pack for Dvorak, so I'm going to transfer my
stuff. Let's go with August 1.
August 1.
Yeah.
You got it.
Let's not do any sooner than August 1.
I will tell him that.
Let's have peak efficiency and be careful. You know what's happened every time we've done that in the past. That's actually coordinated and everybody's not on board with that, and the judge gets pissed.
So you've decided 1 August?
1 August.
Okay. Can you please improve the nighttime flows at Bonneville for Lamprey Passage?
It's going to have to be 1 August in the range, you know. It's not one unit,
after
1 night.
1 August.
Yeah, right, after 1 August.
After 1 August, okay.
I need to go back and double check, because, I mean, Benner did remind me one thing. There was some data a while back saying fish, the few fish that are there have pretty high SARs. I need to go back and double check and make sure we're not.
They are. They do have high SARs. Of those 10 that are left.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the issue. Right?
They come back at real good,
percentage. You're talking 200 fish, so it's like... 200 juveniles.
Yeah, a lot of fish are residualizing, and these are just those fish that happen to fall through a dam, and they're listless, don't know where they're going.
And it's only one turbine at a time, blah, 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 blah.
I think it's pretty much.
I don't see a big issue.
I will go back and think they probably have better survival outside.
Because they need to write this contract like...
If I have a big heartburn, I'll email you.
Which is good.
Okay.
That's good. Greg. The 1% out is up or down from the peak.
I will clear that up. I bet
if
you.
If it's on the low end, that's a concern. Definitely a concern. That's a killer.
Of everything.
If it's on the upside, I'm not worried about it.
The other reason I was thinking.
I didn't think of that.
We're not pulled back. It's still. That may be August 1st. That was the first one that I think it's still. See if anything else can fall back. It's still going to intercept turbines. Yeah, fairly few juveniles.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was better in October or something like that.
Yeah,
outside
of
both seasons. But
yeah.
I don't see an adult issue at all here.
So, okay.
I was just thinking if you're running turbines outside, and you've got outside and you've got spill, think it's too cold.
If you're running outside of the upside, that's actually a better fallback route.
It's opener blades.
It's more.
Yeah.
That's on the geometry. That's just where they're. If they're gonna be at below the 1% band, that's not good. You know, I don't know if they need to run a full range.
Yeah.
I don't know why or what they're doing.
Wow, this meeting got really.
I know that all of you don't need to be, but will kill me if I do not have an answer on 14.2.
Well, we have an answer on this. We're gonna do it after August 1.
August 1.
Which one are you looking at?
So now we're on page 8 of the agenda. Is Bonneville 001.
Making the tested reduced nighttime flows for lamprey permanent in the fish passage plan.
I'm not going to get in the way of that because I'll get hurt if I do, so I will approve.
I've been told every day that we do not do this, I am killing lamprey. So if we could just please approve it so I can be done with killing lamprey, I'd be happy.
What?
Are you having a lamprey barbecue? Yeah.
Nope, that's
why
just
does
what
that,
Rarisich tells me.
Why does that
I'm
change
I'm not providing lamprey passage.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
John likes to tell me.
But we're doing it now, right?
No. It was only as a test. We have not been doing the reduced nighttime. There's no reduced nighttime flow test this year, is there? I don't think we're doing the test.
Because we did 2 years ago.
Right, so we haven't been doing it this year.
So your justification is listed where?
On the form.
And the form's out?
Yes.
I haven't been around my office for weeks, so I'm sorry, but I just haven't had a chance to look at this.
I understand.
Here you go. Hundreds of emails. And that was
the purpose of this change is to allow lamprey to enter our fishways. As research data has suggested, it is better to reduce entrance.
I'm going to say one thing on this one. They can continue to do it if they're doing it now.
They're not at night. Oh, well.
I don't want to see a permanent change until we have a chance to review it. That's all. I just don't have time to look at it.
I would say start the operation, and then we'll talk July 7th about making it permanent. Is that what we're
okay.
Gary, are you okay?
I got to look at it.
Yeah, so, but implement
now, but don't change the fish pass.
Until next month, and then we'll...
Permanent changes scare me.
And then also, we do need to talk about...
Like, the fish passage plan is permanent in any sense of the word.
Well, if you're going to write it in there, then it becomes an issue to have to change it. Who changes it then?
Oh, that's where you were.
Or I'll have you write sorry, when have you written this?
Right, well, I'll have you write one for me.
Don't come after me.
Let me just turn off the recorder here.
Is anyone on the phone?